day, October, can't read my own writing, 27, 2014, council meeting. Prior to the council meeting, council will meet in executive session to discuss capital projects, sales tax projects. Work session, excuse me. So I call this meeting to order at this time. Mr. Leduc?
Yes, at the last meeting we held, Glenn Parker and myself went over all the projects the city had. At the time, there were several questions on the funding for some of those projects. So Kim has laid out for council in your attachment the funding commitments that we have and any future ones that we're foreseeing to give you an idea as to exactly how we would fund these projects. So there should be on the screen in front of you. Okay, it's up there on the wall, but you have it.
Mr. Mayor, yes. Since there's a majority, don't we have to vote on the session or not?
No.
Not a work session.
Just a work session.
You're not intended to take
official action during a work session.
But we have voted on subcommittees to be in session.
No, we voted to take minutes.
We haven't. I've been trying to. But we don't have to. On the work session.
So I have Kim here tonight. She's going to go through it. And as she goes through it, if you have questions, please let us know so we could get this finalized.
Good evening. As Roger stated, and we have had lots of activity in our capital project sales tax 3 or Fund 17 account. And so to keep everything kind of in line and in order, I put it out with the ordinance dates that we've had all of the authorized loans, and that's on the top section. But then we've had other commitments that we've got either tonight or in the future. So when you look down under ordinance date on the left, those are ones that have already been approved, and you see the projects that we've discussed, and they're either in process or completed. The last one was not an actual ordinance, it was a motion, but I included that since that was, you know, part of the commitments for this fund. And those total $6.8 million, okay? But we've only received, to this point in time, $4.8 million. Now, right now, all of the loans are paid off, and we have cash in this Fund 17, Capital Project Sales Tax 3. But we've got these things coming up, the fence at Citizens Park, the water tank is going to be on the agenda tonight, and then we've discussed the stables at Rye Patch, and then the University Parkway engineering costs. Of course, the project is much greater than the $868,000 listed, but that would be the engineering cost and what we would reasonably expect to be spent in the next fiscal year. We don't expect to get into that $3 million number before next May. So with that total, looking at about $3.6 million based on these estimates as of October 27th today, and then projecting the revenue forward for the next three quarters, hopefully next month we'll receive a check, and then projecting the next two quarters after that through the fiscal year. So we would be able to support these commitments. And each one of these remaining commitments would have a loan, a note, if we need to go to that point on that. Are there any questions on this? Or
I think just to be sure we refresh everybody's memory, that we had, when we started Capital 3, after about the first three items, which were the laptops and the SPCA and the gym equipment and stuff, we said we wanted to get on a cash flow basis. And I think we're holding to that. The only one that we have to be, I'm going to use the word concerned about, to keep an eye on, is the University Parkway cost. Even though it says design for $868,000, you probably look at $1.1 million by the time they do all of the geology work and the Waters of the State work. But I think when we rewrite our ordinance for tonight, or however we need to do it, we need to put in there a little bit of cash flow so that we don't forget this a year from now. And that's the only one that really throws us out of kilter, is that one's such a big one. It's $3 million. And obviously the money won't get spent till 17 and 18, or the rest of it.
We would anticipate, we'll make the assumption that your numbers are correct of $1.1 million. That would probably not be completely spent until the summer of 2016.
Right.
So there'll be a number of more quarters of revenues coming in at that time. But even with the $862,000, we would have a positive cash flow of a couple hundred thousand dollars.
That's correct. That's so. As we sit now, we have about $330,000 cash, and then we'd have the money coming in November that would pay off the next note we have. So we should keep it just about right as we go through it. And that's the only thing I think we need to watch, because we have a lot of large numbers in the beginning of Capital 3 to expend.
And when you look at the remaining commitments, we did get the bids in on the water tank at $145,000. The stables will be at $100,000 or less, and we got the bids in on the fencing, and that came in under $400,000. So we actually are lower than the $500,000 that's there.
Very
so
good.
We feel very positive about the numbers that we have here. Now, there will be other projects that will be coming up that are still somewhat unknown, with the water and sewer commitments that our public utilities is doing, and those are ongoing situations, especially in the Crossland Park area.
Yeah.
But again, what I think we could do is update this on a regular basis.
Sure.
And include this in issues and updates so that if the council has any questions, it's not hard to keep this current and keep our revenue projections at least a couple of quarters ahead of where we're at.
Agreed.
And would that be helpful for everybody?
I sure would.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's very important as we go through changes in personnel.
Quick question. Related to that engineering cost for University Parkway, I know we discussed it briefly, but is there any... we know we learned about that contract. Is there any reason that we ought to relook and verify through other bids or discussing it with the engineer or something else to see if there's really any potential savings in that area? Because that contract sounded like a pretty extensive list of services, maybe beyond what we might even have asked for.
In fact, there will probably be some additional services that are not on that.
All right.
Especially in the hydrology area. They have a fairly small number, and with the advent of the fact that University Estates had a blowout of their dam and the water system through that area just a few years ago, we're going to have to really study that extensively to make sure that any of the water coming off this widened roadway is going to be captured at some point.
So you think it'll exceed this number then?
I believe it probably will, and that's what Mr. Ebner was just saying, that it's probably going to be over $1 million. We have not even sat down with Rick Toole and talked to him about any of the engineering. Everything's been on hold until council can make that commitment, and we get the commitment with SIB, and we get the commitment with the county. So that project is probably at least another 30 to 60 days on hold before we move forward. And it's probably going to be more a function of the county than anything, because we have the SIB agreement tonight.
Right.
We know our commitment's there, but we need a firm commitment from the county.
Right. Okay.
And I think the next step, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Mayor, is that there's enough information and concept plan to go to the SCDOT and say, is this okay with you? And that's my understanding, the next step.
That's
and then after that, you would go into the waters of the state, the hydrology, the wetlands, and this dam that we may have to pick up the cost for to do it.
All the environmental and then the actual design engineering. But again, the next step, as we stated, would be, we've already met with the university, we've met with the hospital, the preliminary plan's been done, it has to go before SCDOT. But again, we have everything on hold until that time.
Well, that seems like a good number then. That's fine.
And we're not moving forward on that without a county commitment.
Correct. Again, that project was put on hold back in either June or July of this year.
I'd like a copy, as soon as it's available, of the sales tax figures that have been received. We're expecting to get $1.2 million in November. I don't have that sheet. I used to have it, but mine is not updated. So you know what I'm talking about?
Our next payment will be received in November, and once we have that, we can give you an updated list of our projections.
Yeah, what we've received and what we're projecting.
And what we are projecting.
Yeah,
you have the projected sheet that we developed about 30 days ago, I believe.
I couldn't find that. Where was it?
It was at the work session.
I gave it out at a work session.
Okay.
If you don't have it, I'll make sure you get it in the next few days.
No, I got the work session from the last meeting here, so I must not have seen it. Okay.
Faster than a few days. I need a copy now.
That's all
we have, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Then we are adjourned from our work session.
Thank you, Jim.
I still don't see it in there.
Wait a couple of minutes before we move forward.
How are you? Oh, this is
she called me.
It's not in there.
At this time, I'd like to call the meeting of City Council to order on this October 27th, 2014, beautiful day that we've had. We're certainly glad everyone is here. And if you would like to speak on any of the issues on the agenda, at the right time, raise your hand. Raise your hand and we'll let you know what the right time is. And if you will, please hold your comments to 5 minutes. At this time, we will have a council prayer and then the pledge to our flag.
May we pray? God of all creation, our maker and our sustainer, we are grateful that you blessed us with the opportunity to see another day, and we are grateful that for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for all the families and communities represented here tonight. Enable us to discern between that which is good and that which is not. Help us to serve our community with sincerity and dedication. Help us to remember that all things work together for the good to those who serve you. We pray for guidance and direction as we make tough decisions tonight. Make it full of wisdom, productivity, and help us to show respect for each other. Please continue to bless our staff, our community, our leaders, both locally, statewide, and nationally. Protect us later on as we travel to our respective homes. We promise to acknowledge your gifts and your praise in everything that we do. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
The United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. On the item number one, which is the first read of the ordinance amending the budget for the Woodside Plantation property owners, it's on page 84 of the agenda package. the numbers are blank in there, and from what Mr. City Attorney, Mr. Smith, has sent me, every proposed ordinance shall be introduced in writing in the form required for final adoption. And I think we have to have some numbers in there if we're going to adopt an ordinance. And so what I'd like to add for on page 84, where it says Woodside, put the 105,239. That's the agreed-to number. If the city would have done the work that was outlined in Woodside, Cowmill Landing, they submitted some information the last week, was 18,897. So that'll be the first item. When we get into that, that'll be the motion with those numbers in there. And that would complete that as a votable amendment, a votable ordinance.
Okay, sir. Thank you. First item of the business on the minutes is the consideration of the minutes of the work session of October 1st, 2014, the executive session of October 7th, 2014, and October 17th, 2014, and the work session and regular meeting on October 13th, 2014. I have a motion, second for approval.
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I do have some comments, and I've got about a dozen comments, and I'll only make a couple of them. And they have to do with the work session on October the 1st for the Woodside discussion. A couple of things that we've mentioned over the times, I've summarized these here, and I have a copy of this for the city clerk. As we know, the city didn't energize its emergency operations plan in the city during that. There was obvious communication gaps, which have been discussed in here, between the city manager and Woodside Property Owners Association. The other contention has been there's 367 miles of roads in the city total. The city is only required to do 129 of those miles. Those are what's in this, they're owned by the city. Of the 129, 50 miles of private roads are in the city. 36 are in Woodside. The SCDOT and county roads, by law and under, especially under the emergency guidelines, they would have picked up debris at no cost to us for 238 miles of roads. The city manager decided to do all 367. The other part of this I think is important. As we discuss this, we all need to respect each other's opinion. And when we had our work session, we kind of got off base a little bit sometimes. But whatever somebody says, I think we need to respect what they say. And then the other part Mr. Smith had mentioned, that there may be some other legitimate debris removal from the right-of-way that could come about. And I just wanted to mention that point was made in the minutes on that. So that's just a couple of things I want to have in there. I have this in writing to give to the clerk.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay.
We've got a motion.
Second on that.
We don't have a motion.
Huh?
Did we vote on?
I didn't get a motion.
We didn't have a motion to.
Yeah, we did.
Motion is
not to accept the amendments. Do we need one to accept the amendments?
Motion to accept the amended minutes.
Okay. I move to.
Okay. The amended. Yeah.
I move the amended.
Right.
99% of what I just said is already in there, but I'll move to amend it.
Okay. Do we have a second? Any discussion about that? Show of hands, please. All in favor then? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Under old business, item one, approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have three before tonight, but I believe one is going to be...
Yes, we'll hold off on that.
We're going to hold off on the appointment. that Councilwoman Biggs has to get some further information. That's on the Accommodation Tax Committee. That tax committee, you were given some information earlier tonight that it's one of the very few committees that have that has to define roles in it with a lodging hospitality group. And so we're looking for just the person that could fit within those categories. So tonight before you, Mayor Kavanaugh is recommending the appointment of Mike Beckner to the Recreation Commission and Brenda to replace Brenda Mills. And we also have Councilmember Dewar who would like to recommend the appointment of Elizabeth Neal to the Senior Commission tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second. Okay. Discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item two.
A new appointment?
Oh, yes, yes. Do we have any nominations for next meeting?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to renominate Robert Besley to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
And, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to renominate Mrs. Judy Turner for the Board of Zoning Appeals and Dr. Ken Cubbage for the Planning Commission.
Okay. All right, so those will be on the agenda for the next meeting. Item two is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance renewing the lease with the Aiken Garden Club Council for the dollhouse at Hopeland's Gardens. That's a pretty good place.
Yes, the Aiken Garden Clubs have taken great care of the dollhouse, and they're asking to have the lease renewed again. And so council heard this at the last meeting, and for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to renew the lease for the Aiken Garden Club. And the ordinance reads, authorizing the extension of the lease between the City of Aiken and the Aiken Garden Club Council concerning the operation of the dollhouse located in Hopeland Gardens.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance on second reading for the renewal of the lease with the Aiken Gardens Club and Council and the dollhouse for Hopeland Gardens.
Okay.
I second.
Very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. New business, first reading of an ordinance amending the FY 2014-15 budget to reimburse Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association for winter storm PACS expenses. Now, we have those two changes. Okay. Everybody heard those. Would you repeat the numbers again?
Yes, I need to repeat them so that, and I assume I'm ready to do that. If Mr. Ledoux need to introduce it, or you do?
Yes, he does.
That'd be fine.
Just want to be sure this is up. We're trying to close this out tonight. Mr. Mayor, I move that the first reading of the ordinance amending the 2014-15 budget to reimburse Woodside Plantation property owners for the winter storm PAX expenses. As I mentioned before, which is on page 84, if mm-hmm. we can show that up there, because there'll probably be discussion on it. If you put that up, please, Ms. Rideout. Reimburse Woodside $105,239, which was the agreed to number between the city and the Woodside Plantation Board of Directors, from which came from one of our numerous work sessions on this, what the city would have cost to remove that amount of debris and not the original amount. Calmill Landing had come in and said, well, if we read that they would like to have some reimbursement based on anything else that the city did. They did submit that in the last week or so. It's $18,897. So my motion is to approve this on first reading for those two amounts.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands for approval of that. Okay. It fails to have a majority. Do we have another motion to put on the table? Anyone? I will make a motion. And this thing has worried me as much and as anybody I know, determining what should be done, what shouldn't be done. And I still come back to the same thing that I had early on. I've tried to move around it and everything else. But to me, and we've heard all of the discussions about that, we've heard it from our folks, and of course we've heard it from Woodside folks, who we dearly love and care about very much. However, this is my personal view, to the fact that the city of Aiken would have picked up that debris. I don't think anyone can question that. Everyone, two or three things here. Everyone was under the same problem area with the concerning the storm as everyone else. That was a widespread storm. All over South Carolina just about probably was. So everybody had the same problem. And everybody had to wait for pickup of their debris on their street. However, I will say this, and I'm sure it happened in Woodside also, that the very first thing that morning after the storm, you began to see people out there with their skill saws and everything else, chainsaw, helping each other to clear the streets. We had three trees that fell. Two of them fell across the street. There were trees that we couldn't even get out of the street for the long time because the trees were still in the street, other trees. So all I want to say with that is that everybody had some of the same conditions, I'm sure. And I have not heard anyone yet from the city, from our neighbors, or anyone else, say that they expect to be paid for what they did. Many of them, including us, my wife and I, hired a company from Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. They were all over the place. They may have helped you. It cost us just about $7,000 for the work that they did. I got very little bit back on my insurance. But still in all, you know, our neighbors work together. And again, I'm sure your neighbors work together as well. But I'm getting back to the point that the city did not tell Woodside to move ahead. The city would have picked that up. I know Woodside had to wait. Everybody had to wait. And we just piled stuff up on the, you know, on the right of way there in front of our house like everybody else did. So therefore, I'm taking the position that there should be no money given to Woodside because of what happened. I just don't see it. Woodside made the decision. If I'd made decisions in our life, we've all made decisions, and we'd be probably sorry for some of them. But we made the decisions. I know I have. And so that's where I stand on it. I don't know if anyone else stands on that or not. But that's the motion that I'm making right now.
I second the motion, Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to make a couple of comments.
I need to raise a point of order. We've already voted not to give any money. Unless you make a motion to give money, I think that would be appropriate. I made a motion for a certain amount, and that was turned down.
We had eight options.
That doesn't mean it's zero. I mean, it's that was, if the motion, if the first motion fails, it is appropriate. Council wants to consider a second motion to have a second motion.
Okay.
But just because you turned down your motion doesn't mean that the city has agreed to pay zero.
Okay. I think I need to make some comments.
Wait a minute. We've got the motion and the second here.
I asked to make some comments.
He's first. I'm second.
Okay.
I'm third. Okay. I understand what you said, Mr. Mayor. Quite frankly, it's not an issue that any of us look forward to discussing this evening. I don't agree with one thing you said with Woodside moving ahead. They were told to move behind. In this particular case,
they were told what?
They were told essentially to move behind. They were told they were going to be last. I spoke to Tim Coakley, Director of Public Services, before the meeting, because to me the storm in 2004, shortly after I arrived, and the storm in 2014 personally impacted, there was no difference. And we never had an issue in 2004 with Woodside. And I'm not sure I understand why. I guess I do know why, and a lot of us...
three times worse than 14.
Well, that's what he said, but let me tell you, I was out of power for the same number of days, and the trees, a lot of the trees come down. There may have been more that came down, but the fact of the matter is we didn't have this issue in 04. Public services went out and did their job. We shouldn't have had this issue this time. Councilman Ebner and I tried to get people on board to prevent it, and we failed. And what Woodside was told, and I think staff will bear it out, was that you're in a second category. You're a private road, and we're going to take care of the public roads first, and then we'll get to you, and it may be May or it may be June. Now, to be fair, they did send out the Greenville crew for the residences, even though they not there. The city manager kept the crews down to 10-hour days when they all came hoping to work all kinds of overtime. And that went a lot slower than it needed to. I guess I'm prepared to live with anything, but I want to know what we're going to do for the next storm, because I don't want to be back here treating one class of residents different than another class simply because they live behind gated communities. So what are we going to do the next time we have this storm?
Well, that's not on our agenda. However, we need to get a committee together immediately and start talking and planning about exactly what we need to do based on what we saw happening. There were mistakes made. There's no doubt about that. There were slowdowns and what have you. But my point is that it affected everybody. It just didn't affect any one body.
I understand that it affected everybody. So, it affected every taxpayer in the city of Aiken.
That's right. And it was three times. It's been told in the paper that by some of the, whoever they are, experts, that this was three times as bad. I was in the other one, too, and I know that it was much worse. So that could slow things down as well.
I think, Mr. Mayor, we have some legal issues here, and I've tried to be, if you will, pleasant in describing these things. The state declared, and I already mentioned this, the state declared an emergency. The city never declared one until almost 2 weeks later. The city was shut down for 3 days. The employees were sent home. We never energized our emergency plan.
Okay.
All right. The city manager at the time made the decision to clean all the roads in the city. I talked with SCDOT, who went to their legal. The city manager had no legal requirement or authority to disallow SCDOT in the city limits or interfere with state contractors. And so we picked up 238 miles of roads that you can say we didn't need to, if you will, because the state would have picked them up, and we have some county roads in there. They would have been picked up at no cost. The rest of the county was basically done with pass three by the first week of April. And we didn't finish the first pass until June. We the city, there's 129 miles in the city. There's 79 miles of city roads, and there's 50 miles of private roads. That's from our engineering department, exactly how many we have. And if you look at it, there's only 24 miles of the private roads that were picked up in Woodside. You take out the 7 miles that were picked up on Plantation, and you take out about 5 miles that had no trees whatsoever on it. And also there's about 15 or 20 miles of city streets that have no trees. So I think the early on decisions caused a lot of people to spend a lot of money they didn't have to. And I don't think there's any doubt. If people picked it up out of the right-of-way to move it, then that's a city responsibility. And what has happened, once the people saw by the third week and fourth week of February it wasn't going to get done, you're correct. They started spending a lot of money to do their own work. So I think the people made a decision based on that.
I don't think all of them waited that long to make a decision. I made a quick decision. My neighbors made quick decisions, and certainly some of them probably did.
Reggie. Now, as a result of this, out of our taxpayers' dollars, we paid, the city taxpayers paid about $300,000 out of our city tax funds to clean the state roads. If the state reimburses that, then we break even. But right now, we're about $300,000 in the red for cleaning up the state roads, plus all the heartache that has caused to us. So I think all the citizens made the decisions on what they saw, what was going on. They have friends in North Augusta and Aiken County, and they saw everything else being done. And Calmia Landon, which I think was treated very poorly myself, have that neighborhood, and we have 0.7 miles, and we couldn't go push the stuff out of the way. And I think that was an issue that should have been handled. And I think the key goes back. We have an emergency plan that we didn't put in gear. And it says in there that we would call that, you being the primary one, and the order would come from public safety. And then all of these decisions would have gotten reviewed at the time, what help we needed and what help we didn't get. So I think there's a chain of events here that are unfortunate part of the history of Aiken. And whatever we do tonight, I want to be sure that we finish with it. We've discussed this 6 or 7 times, and it appears to be a good topic that everybody wants to discuss. And we need to close it out tonight.
I agree.
So
I think everybody agrees, don't we?
All right, well, let's do it.
Reggie, everything you mentioned affects everybody.
It does.
Certainly we've learned. And everything you've said, we'll have it in paper, and we'll start with that when we start managing what we do for the next time.
We had an emergency plan that we just didn't follow.
Okay.
And everything rolled down off of that. So enough said.
Well, okay. Nevertheless, everybody, it affected everyone the same, basically.
I've got one last comment, Mr. Mayor. When we claimed reimbursement from the state and directly FEMA, we actually got reimbursed for the work that the people at Woodside paid for. That's one thing which is kind of incongruous. Not only did the Woodside people pay their $300,000, which would have cost the city to do about $105,000, but when the claims to FEMA and the state went forward, the city took credit for the cleanup that happened at Woodside. I think that's something we ought to, kind of look at, because there's some potential figures that, should be corrected.
Well, no one yet has mentioned, Tim, would you come up here, please, and tell us what you did the night of and then those days in after that? This is very important, I think, because the city spent a lot of money in Woodside cleaning it up.
It would be easier for me to answer a direct question. I mean, for me to tell the whole story?
Yes.
It's a pretty lengthy story.
That's okay. It's important.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. The event wasn't just a single day event. The event lasted probably 2 full days. And I was in charge of public services at the time, assembled a team of my department and George Grinton's department with people, had a group of about 40 of us. Pretty much anybody that was qualified to carry a chainsaw, all the backhoes we had, stuff like that, fell directly under my charge. We worked basically for public safety. The calls came into the police department. We dispatched a crew to clear a road. And we ran like that for 2.5-3 days straight. I tell you, my guys were heroes. They worked 20-hour days, slept on the floor in my office, you know, for 3 or 4 hours, got back up, worked another 20-hour day. Our priorities.
Tim, how much of that was in Woodside that you just quoted?
Well, as much as it was in any other part of the city. We, you know, our initial goal was to keep state highways and the hospital open and our public safety station open, stations open. We actually staged crews at those firehouses. And as the calls came in that trees were down, you know, we kept the primary roads open. We never lost control of primary roads for any significant length of time. And we would consider Woodside Foundation Drive a primary road with that many residents using those two gates. So, I mean, I was personally on a crew that cut the main entrance open 3 different times. And Tom Rapp came to me early in the storm and said, you know, he took 9 trees out of Plantation Drive. So we, you know, we didn't treat Woodside any different under our emergency response. And I think it's important to note that our emergency response went well. You know, the citizens of Aiken need to feel safe that, you know, anytime there's a thunderstorm or a hurricane or an ice storm, you know, we're out there giving it all we got. You know, we really didn't lose any major arterial roads in the city of Aiken for any length of time. Now, some of the neighborhoods we did, and we got them back to one lane passable as soon as we could. I think the initial emergency response in the first 48 hours went very well.
And then the Greenville came in, right?
Yeah, they came in. It was almost a month later, Mayor, before the Greenville group got here. The storm lasted Wednesday and Thursday, and we cleaned up, just pushed what we call a push and toss, where, you know, we would cut a tree at one curb line and another curb line and take a backhoe and throw it, you know, up out of the road. And we did that all day Friday and Saturday, and we took Sunday off. We had the roads in good enough shape by Sunday that we stood down and took a break Sunday and came back Monday, began the process of picking up in front of people's houses. And we made the decision then to put one of our grapple loading units in each council district. And there was one immediately went to Woodside. I don't remember where the other 5 went, but there was one in each district. And that week we started getting calls from other cities about mutual aid. Some came quickly. Springdale, you know, up around the Columbia area, was here the next day. Greenville took a little longer to mobilize, but they came with 14 or 15 people. So it was a much bigger group. As soon as they arrived, we sent them, they were the biggest group, so we sent them to Woodside and relieved that crew of ours out of Woodside. We found that putting 6 of them in 6 different areas wasn't as efficient as if we ran them in pairs. They seemed to be able to move quicker. So we got the 14 guys from Greenville, we sent them to Woodside. I think a distinction ought to be made, too, that, you know, there's 40 miles of streets in Woodside, 33 of them we picked up with city crews and mutual aid crews. You know, the only road we're really discussing is Plantation Drive.
We started that how soon after the storm?
I'm sorry?
We started picking them up ourselves how soon after the storm?
The Monday after.
So really the only day that we weren't working there was the Sunday after the storm.
That's right. Okay. We decided to, you know, none of us had had any sleep, and we decided to regroup.
Right.
There was
one day.
That's right. Some of my guys needed to take care of their families and been home 3 or 4 days. And then we came back Monday and worked, sun up to sundown for months.
Tim, did you not indicate that there is, this is on camera, the clearance, that we have cameras now in our vehicles?
Absolutely. At the time, we were experimenting with cameras on our garbage trucks. Kind of a neat system with 4 cameras. One actually points out the front of the truck, one out the back, and one out each side. And we were doing that mostly for employee safety. We get a lot of twisted ankles, people, guys jumping on and off the back of the truck, and we wanted to be able to review injuries and things like that. So it just happens 2 weeks before the storm, we demoed that on half of our fleet, and just got lucky that the fleet that was assigned to pick up Woodside, the Wednesday, you know, we started picking up on Monday, and on Wednesday that week was the first garbage day for Woodside. So we had complete video of what the streets looked like in Woodside. And I mean, it's very clear that traffic's flowing in two lanes, and you can see the piles 3 or 4 feet off in the grass.
So roughly how many weeks were we out there consistently?
In Woodside?
Through the end of March.
Yeah. I didn't bring all my data with me tonight, but at least 6 weeks.
Your spreadsheet that you provided us showed Greenville was finished, I think, around the 26th of March and then moved into Dumbarton Oaks. Is that right?
That's right. They finished out the week. They had a couple days left to finish out their assignment and went to Dumbarton.
Those 33 miles of roads in Woodside were finished before the end of March?
That's correct. It had been completely cleared one time.
Okay. But the rest of the city had not been completely cleared one time?
You know, everybody was. All the areas of the city were finishing up their first swing about that time.
All right.
Dumbarton obviously hadn't. That's why we had sent them to Dumbarton. But, yeah, so they, you know, they weren't last. And there have also been some statements that, you know, they were put in last in the queue, and that's not true. They actually have service as quick as anybody else did, except for Woodside Plantation Drive. And there was just no precedent for us to pick up on that road.
Well, we cleared but didn't clean.
That's right. That's right. We just didn't haul the debris
away. So it was passable, no inconvenience.
Passable both lanes.
Yeah, two lanes of passable traffic. It just was still sitting on the side of the road and it was ugly.
Yes, sir.
Let's just to be clear, there's 36 miles of private roads in Woodside. There's 7 miles on the plantation and Eastgate, and about 5 miles of that with no trees. That leaves 24 miles to clean up. And Mr. Copeland, Mr. Biedenbaugh, and the POA discussed that. So the actual pickup was 24 miles. He did push it out of the way on Plantation in the beginning, as he said. But there's 24 miles of that. The second thing is, the state tells us they had 60 crews, if you will, trucks and pushers ready to come in the city. Why didn't those come and work on the 238 miles of city streets? I mean, what was the reason that they didn't show up? I mean, we were told, he talked with the fellow that's at the district office, I talked with the state guy. They were supposed to do that, 238 miles, and we were supposed to do 129.
There was some precedent set back in the 2004 storm where we did all of that in the 2004 storm. And I really don't know the reasoning behind it. But, you know, there were taxpayers living on those roads. I mean, I can see why we would want to help the state clean those things up as fast as we could.
But somebody told them not to show up. They were here. They were run out of town 3 times, and I'm putting you on the spot. I understand that because we were, you know, we got a little different story why they're not working in the city. And I think we would work together, and we did that. And, you know, I think we didn't pick on Woodside, we didn't pick on Cow Mill Landing, but still, we have 60 crews that were available to come in here. And the rest of the county was finished by April. I'm not picking on you. You did what you were told. But I think we're tending to try to not look at the past, how we got here today. And I think how we got here is important. And if you want to, I've already checked with the state and with SCEMDM. I don't think we need to, but if we want to get all the facts and figures, you know, we can ask for a audit of what we did. I think what Mr. Copley said is everything he did has been done. But I think picking on a couple of neighborhoods or saying, well, everybody had to wait, that's true. But we need to see why we didn't wait. And I think all of you know, and Mr. DeWar has already alluded to it. You know, basically, We were disinvited to every, we, the council and the neighbors were all disinvited to the meetings. The state came in here and worked 14 days, as you well know, picked up a lot of mileage that had never been touched yet. And I think we need to understand a little bit of the history. Whether we pay Woodside or Cowmere Landing is still a philosophy discussion. Sure. But I think we had some serious things that we let go that we as council knew about. And I just want to be sure we all know that. And I'm not picking on Mr. Coakley at all. I know what he went through in the rest of the city.
He did a super job, he and his crew.
The city staff did good. I'm just saying, they did their job, but they did. They tried to do five times as much with a fifth of the work. And that's,
okay, that's what we've got to put into the next plan, okay?
It's already there, Mr. Mayor. It's
very
already
good.
There.
No, we're on the way.
I don't agree. I wish I could agree with you, Mr. Mayor, but I don't agree. I haven't seen anything this council has done to deal with Plantation Drive. Let's face it. One of the differences between 04 and 14 is the FEMA regulations. After Katrina, we talked to the consultants. They told us the FEMA regulations were changing almost by the day. They did tell us there were ways to get reimbursement, but we never got started on the right track. But we need to make clear what we're going to do for Plantation Drive for the next storm. Mm-hmm. So the Woodside understands they're either going to get support from the city or they're on their own. And it's tonight they're being told they're on their own. If that's the way it's going to be, that's fine. We need to codify that so they'll be prepared to know what they're going to have to do the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have one last question, Mr. Coakley. Is my understanding that the residents of Cowmere Landing do pay a $14 fee a month? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But they do have a commercial garbage pickup, and debris pickup. We do not pick up for them. Is that right?
Yes, sir. They have a landscaper that takes care of the whole neighborhood, I believe. We have picked up in there before on an on-call basis, but they normally decline our service.
Okay. So they're paying the $14 a month, but we wouldn't even go clear the roads in the emergency.
I can't speak to county, though. I didn't take any calls from there. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know where that is.
Just wanted to be clear about it, because I've talked with several of the neighbors early on in this, and I got, not talking with you, but talking with the previous city manager, why didn't we go in there and at least push it out of the way in a neighborhood of that? So, thank you.
Everybody vote?
Thank you, Tim, very much. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Hughes. I'm the former president of Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association. And there's one point that I wanted to mention that's been overlooked in the conversation tonight, and that is we made decisions about clearing Woodside Plantation Drive and Eastgate Drive based on the information that we had. The day after the ice storm, Mr. Coakley told us that he did not know when he would be able to get to Woodside Plantation Drive and Eastgate Drive because they were not residential streets. He said it could be, it would likely be a long time, it could be months. So we had to make a decision based on that. There are 85 roads in Woodside that only open onto Woodside Plantation Drive or Eastgate Drive. We couldn't leave those roads for months, so we had to make a decision based on that. So we did. We contracted Weiss Services and Colquitt to come in and clear those two roads, which allowed the city to come in and clear the residential streets. I don't think anyone disputes that Tim Coakley and his crew did an awesome job clearing the residential street. Once they finally got in there, they worked really quickly and did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hughes.
Yes.
You make very good arguments, and your documentation is excellent, and I don't think any of us are disputing anything that Woodside did to clear the plantation. I think my biggest problem is there was no pre-authorization for reimbursement. That's my biggest problem. If we had that, if someone had told you, go ahead and do it, if you had asked someone, if we do it, can y'all reimburse us? And if that document was in place for not only Woodside, but also Cowmere Landing,
I'd give you every penny you asked for.
And that sounds, it's reasonable. Mm-hmm. The problem we ran into is we were under the assumption that we were going to apply directly to FEMA. We were told by FEMA. Our caseworker said, yeah, you have a good case. We went through a lot of the process. It wasn't until much later, it was May, I think, when we realized that we weren't eligible. So we didn't really have an opportunity to come to the city. It was the South Carolina Emergency Management Group and FEMA saying, you should go to the city and apply through the city. So we didn't really have an opportunity to.
But that's my biggest.
Okay, and to add to that, it's in the minutes of the October 1st meeting. Mr. Copley specifically said that he told Mrs. Brock that, you know, he couldn't pick it up, didn't have the authority to do it, and referred to the city manager. City manager never returned the calls to Woodside. Matter of fact, didn't return any of them or emails. And so there was.
He also didn't authorize reimbursement.
It's kind of hard to authorize reimbursement if you won't talk to him.
No, I mean, no one else was approached. I'm not talking about just Richard. If
well, it had to go to the city manager, Mr.
And
Copley.
And mention it to council.
Well, council didn't, trust me, yes. Council didn't mention it to Mr. Pierce. I understand what you're saying. There was no authorization.
Right. That's my biggest problem, Reggie.
And I don't disagree with
you. I have no problems with Woodside Academy and Landing. I appreciate both of them. They're lovely places. I think they contribute a lot to this city. But my biggest issue is there's no document pre-authorizing the reimbursement for either development. That's my biggest problem. If we had that, like I said, I'd give Woodside the $303,000 or $306,000 they were asking for in the beginning. If we had that document, I would give Carmel Landon what they asked for, $18,000, $19,000 in a heartbeat, no problem. But I just can't in good conscience honor the request because they didn't have that.
I understand your position, and Mr. City Attorney would probably have to agree with me. When one party asks something and the other party doesn't answer, there's a certain amount of, trying to think of a nice word to use, but there's a certain amount of precedent set for that. And I don't intend to pursue it here. It's not worth my time and keep dragging this out. But those conversations were one way and didn't happen, and it's in the minutes of the meeting. So I respect what you're saying if that would have happened. Trust me, if I'm alive, when the next storm comes along, you're not going to have to worry because the state's going to be in here, and Mr. Coakley or his replacement in 10 years is only going to have to pick up about 110 miles of roads, and he'll be done in 3 or 4 weeks.
Sounds good to me.
Mr. Mayor, if it's appropriate, I'll call for the vote. I think council's pretty well firm on where we're going with this.
Well, I think if we're ready talking.
Leslie's had her name, her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shelby.
Sure.
I'm Leslie Giobbe. I live on Grace Avenue. And I have to say that I support our mayor 100%. And the reason I do is that before we moved to Aiken, my husband and I lived in a private association in Greenwich, Connecticut. And our streets were open during the day, so people could come and go as they wanted. But at twilight, all four entrances and exits to our area were shut off except for one. And that was the only way in or out. We had our own police force. We paid city taxes, county taxes, state taxes, and yet we were responsible for the maintenance of the roads, the trees, anything and everything that would happen, snow removal, you name it. And we accepted that. And I will say that when you choose to live in a gated community, and especially one like Woodside, where you can't even get in, you have to stop at the gate and be approved to come and go. At least where we were, you could come and go at will until twilight. Then everything was shut off except for the one way in or out. Then the police would kind of patrol that area a little bit more, but they were sort of all over as well. And like I said, we paid city, county, and state taxes, and we also paid above and beyond that into our tax district. We actually incorporated Millbrook into a tax district, and we were able to float bonds, so it lowered our cost of capital to provide the funds and the piggy bank, so to speak, to pay for emergencies and things like that. Now, during this past storm, where I live, there aren't a lot of kids that live in our neighborhood, so I think the city, rightfully, was working under a triage system, focusing on neighborhoods where there are a lot of kids, so that their families would be safe and get heat and everything back to the kids. We had hanging wires, and we went out and spent thousands and thousands of dollars, as you did, you and Lee, on your own, to take care of what had to be taken care of, because we didn't want there to be a horrible accident or something, or a fire or whatever. And yes, we pay city taxes and county taxes and state taxes, but we just realize that this is part of the cost of living wherever you live, and it's also your responsibility as an adult and part of the community to be willing to roll up your sleeves and put some money down, and like you said, hard work. All the neighbors were out there. I personally hauled over 10 cords of wood during this whole thing from one place where I have still stacked up in different places, so now I have lots of firewood for the next, I don't know how many years. But, I think if you choose to live in a really heavily gated neighborhood community, then, you have to be willing to accept the consequences for that, too. And if anybody wants to talk about incorporating and doing what we do as a tax district, give us a call. We can talk to you about it. So, anyway, I understand both sides, but we did pay our taxes there. We pay them here, and we didn't expect any more help than what we got. We just rolled up our sleeves, and we did it. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, and I keep adding to this because I've asked some of these questions, how could Woodside proceed if they so wanted to? It'd probably take 2 years in court. Is my understanding from the Secretary of Transportation in South Carolina, when the governor declared an emergency, it was to clear all roads. And of course, I had a vested interest when I was talking to the executive director, who is the gatekeeper for the Secretary of Transportation, and I asked about the private roads. And all roads were supposed to be cleared under that emergency order. And they have, if we wanted to pursue it, we could sure pursue it over that. And I don't intend to do that. It's not, it's not worth keeping dragging the city and the residents through this because of an unfortunate condition in the city. But there are some issues here that it would take 2 to 3 years in court to solve out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Mayor, Leslie, I hope you don't mind my mentioning it, but I know that she and her family spent over $20,000 mm-hmm. for cutting down trees and getting things hauled off.
Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Next.
Mr. Mayor, Council. My name is Keith M. Capera. I live in Woodside. And I was just listening to, obviously, what all you were saying, and I think there's a problem with the distinction between what we all did in an emergency situation as far as cleaning up our own, mm-hmm. the street out in front of our house, our own yards, carrying 10 cords of wood or whatnot that are personal situations, as opposed to what was needed to be done as a community, and which was actually the responsibility of the community. We seem to be taking really short shrift about all this. Yes, we know this is a problem. Yes, we know this is a problem. Yes, we know this is a problem. But we don't give it any credibility. And I think, Council Lady, I'm sorry, I can't read your name.
Dan.
You wanted information on a pre-authorization, but yet we were told that that wasn't necessary because FEMA was going to reimburse us. How could you, why would we be able to look forward that far in advance to also ask for authorization from the city? It doesn't make sense. You've been given, rational reasons of why this was happened. But they seem to be just kind of discarded, and that seemed to be a little disappointing to me. Let's put it this way: this is my first experience with the city council, and it's been somewhat enlightening. What I don't understand, though, is why there's such a distinction between Woodside and other areas. I mean, you talk about pushing back the debris, which was done off the road. But it was all pushed onto private land in Woodside, whereas in the city it was pushed onto city land, sidewalks or whatnot. So there was a little more of a sense of urgency of getting it out.
Everybody doesn't have a sidewalk in the city of Aiken. So I think your statement
It's in the easement of still.
You should have seen the stuff on my yard. You know.
Well, I can appreciate that. And we have on ours, too. Everyone's in the same boat. But the problem is that we had an assumption, and maybe that's where the problem was, that it was going to be cleaned up. But yet, from what we've been told, there were promises, or there were also indications it wasn't going to be taken care of in a timely manner. So if we're basically being penalized as a community for going forward and trying to make...
So did thousands of other citizens in our city have to wait as well.
Exactly. And if they had the wherewithal to band together, they could have hired somebody to come in and take care of their street.
And
too.
So many of them did. They had to pay for getting trees down, limbs down.
In their yard or on the street?
Huh?
In
some of
our streets.
You may have heard me early on. We could get out of our driveway, but we couldn't go anywhere because there were trees on both sides and further on down, too, if you look down the street.
Yes.
And our people that had the saws, I didn't have one, got out there and cut them.
Did the same thing?
That's fine. And I didn't say Woodside didn't, did I? I didn't say Woodside didn't do the same thing. So what's your point? We're all in the same boat here. We all had to suffer under the terrible storm.
Right.
Right?
But you're basically penalizing people that actually took care or tried to do this because...
Penalizing who?
Well, the city's been reimbursed for the money, as I understand it, from the FEMA for doing all this work, and they didn't do all the work.
You know how much money we pay Greenville, for instance?
In these other
five, we had five cities come in and help us, and each one got paid. They didn't do it for nothing. And then when they have a problem, we go out too, also, and help them. So,
what you're saying is you're paying other cities to come in and do this, but yet when we in Woodside did our own, we were not to be reimbursed for that.
The issue is just involving Plantation Drive. We weren't the city was not reimbursed for any work on Plantation Drive. If that was your point.
That's right.
No, I don't know that. I was just told by previously that they were reimbursed for FEMA. You mentioned that in the comments.
To the best of my knowledge, the city was not reimbursed for any expenses associated with cleaning Plantation Drive.
Okay.
Let me see again if it's any of any value. That I don't know of a single citizen in Aiken that worked on their own yard and over helping things get out of the street, things out of the street that fell, and also helping their neighbors that have come and said, I want to be reimbursed, until we started talking about this. And obviously, they would have something to say about it maybe if we did this, but that's not the reason that I made the comment that I did on why I thought Woodside should not be reimbursed.
Okay.
I made that because they made the decision, and I don't care how long it took to make the decision. They didn't come to the city and say, hey, would you go along with this? They made that decision, and whoever told them that they would be reimbursed, I don't know who did that. You said somebody said FEMA told them. I don't know. That was...
Yes, we were originally told that FEMA, we should apply to FEMA for reimbursement, which is the only reason we didn't come to the city first. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, that wasn't something the city told Woodside, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't something that the city told you that you were going to be reimbursed.
No, it was supposed to be funded by FEMA. And it wasn't until months later,
Right. And then that's something that wasn't in our hands at that point.
Well, we need to look at the dates. Our facts are getting all fuzzy here.
Thank you, sir.
This goes back to the April 1st meeting, Mr. Mayor. We sit right next door here. We had citizens there and we had contractors there. And there were contractors that were saying, hey, we can help you pick up your debris. And We, the council, didn't make that decision not to do it. 2 days later, and at that meeting, I asked specifically about the city reimbursing Woodside. And that was the first discussions, if you will, in public, that, well, you got to submit it to FEMA. On the 3rd of April, the city had the kickoff meeting with FEMA, which we all asked to be there, and we weren't there. It is my opinion, and I use it my opinion because I was invited to the county kickoff meeting, and these are public meetings with federal officials, and I asked them about it. That's when I found out the city had already had their kickoff meeting about 4 days before the county meeting. So I asked the fellow, I said, okay, what do we do? The same people that were supposedly in the city meeting. And he says, well, you know, I think you should work through the city or submit it yourself. Our city manager made it very plain that we needed to have our own caseworker and submit it through FEMA. Then that was said, and what is said, that took, gosh, that was in June or July, we got that back. And they specifically said to submit it through the city, which we did, and we asked it to be submitted with two payments that the city turned in, and the city decided not to do that based on their own internal decisions. So the logic behind this still goes back to, we have a problem that created this problem. And just to say everybody had to wait like everybody else, that's a true statement. But my position is still, and I know at least one or two other councilmen, we have a management issue that is costly, that we have citizens that are quite displeased with how it was handled. And that's why we're here today still discussing it.
Mr. Mayor.
That's fine.
Getting back to your point, though, you know, you said well, it would cost us. We had five different communities with support coming in.
Right.
But we got reimbursed. I believe, I remember a number, I don't know exactly what it is. Basically, the difference between normal operations and the operations to clean up the city, the difference was like $900,000. And FEMA reimbursed us in the order of 1.5 or somewhere in there. So it's not like the city's taken a beating as far as the reimbursement goes. I think FEMA very generously reimbursed it. And my point was earlier that if, in fact, you know, the city was reimbursed for getting Woodside cleaned up at no expense. I mean, there were some expenses, but not the expense that it would have cost them in addition to the $105,000.
Well, I don't quite understand what you're saying, but
what
that doesn't get back
is,
to the point that who
I'm
made
saying
the decision.
Is you said the city paid.
What?
The city paid all those five cities that helped
well,
us.
Well, they did.
But we got reimbursed.
Okay.
We got reimbursed.
Okay. That's
we
fine.
Got reimbursed generously about $500,000 extra from what we actually incurred.
Mr. Mayor, I think we've got a hand up in the audience.
Okay. Yes, sir. Down here on the front row, going to sleep. Nope. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Will Gibbs. I live on Burgundy Road in Westcliff Subdivision, Councilman DeWars District. I just want to speak that this is a case of a neighborhood that couldn't wait. Unfortunately, this was a act of Mother Nature, much like Hurricane Hugo, much like the 2004 event. And unfortunately, when these type of events happen, everybody has to help everybody, and there's going to have to be some give and take. And I think for Woodside to ask, or County of Landing, any other neighborhood for that, to ask because they couldn't wait. We heard Mr. Coakley say that the trees, they were topped, which from curb line to curb line to allow fire EMS cars to go by. Was it neat? No, it wasn't neat. But also to remember that Woodside is a private gated community that not every citizen can ride on those roads. So I think they were correct in telling Woodside that they would be at the bottom of the list, as they should be, because those roads are not accessible to all citizens. And so I think that that, like I said, this is just a case of the citizens of Woodside chose to act. That's wonderful they have the resources to do that. And so I don't think that the city, the council, should approve this money simply because they chose not to wait. I also am very concerned about I think that Mr. Homoki and Mr. Ebner, both being residents of Woodside, should recuse themselves from the vote. But that's my personal opinion. That's all. Thank you.
Just a second.
Thank you, Will.
Will, yes, 1 second. And I'll jump in ahead of the city attorney. We went to the State Ethics Commission, and we asked them that very question. And the attorney, Kathy Hazelwood, from the State Ethics Commission, indicated that if they were on the board of the POA, they could not participate. But they're not. So to ask that they recuse themselves essentially is to give no representation on this issue to Woodside. So we are following the guidance that the State Ethics Commission gave us.
And you're right. And ethically, that is correct. But
yes,
there's also ethics and integrity. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I understand the citizen's position. If we want to follow what he said, it will be rare that all city council members will vote on anything. And I can cite a number of things that I've been on in the last 5 years that could be questions when we vote on stuff. And I think, we have to go by some rules and regulations, and I've got a number of complaints like the gentleman brought up there. But I think at some point we have to, go by some rules that the state has, whether, we need to follow them in the city.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But everyone has their own opinion on things and has the right to express what they feel. And I hope we always will have that. Yes, sir.
While the next speaker is coming up, Mr. Mayor, let me just say that Camille Landing, I do want to express, when I contacted Mr. Johnson, I don't know if I see Mr. Johnson in the audience, he's there, about FEMA reimbursement. Mr. Johnson quickly told me that he recognized that being in a gated community, they were not eligible. Just nod your head, Mr. Johnson, if that is correct, that you share with me. And the only reason, the only way they wanted reimbursement, if we're reimbursing others, they felt that they should be reimbursed. But he did not come out and say reimburse me, but only if we were doing it for others. They recognize that in Camille Landing they had a lot of seniors, one way in that development, one way out, and they needed to do something right away. But that FEMA had told them right away they were not eligible.
Ms. Price, what do you think of the city? And remember, they pay the $14 a month for garbage and trash pickup, and the city wouldn't even go in and clear their streets. They did go into Woodside on the streets that were paid, that the citizens paid for, but we wouldn't even go in and clear the streets, which is about 0.7 miles. It would have seemed the logic. If the city manager said, well, gee, go push theirs out of the way, whether they get reimbursed or not, they're paying for something they're not getting.
Well, they were concerned about the appearance of their development and the fact that when you have trucks to come in, they were trying to keep the integrity and the appearance of that development intact, which is why they contracted someone to come in to do the job.
So what we're saying, Mr. Cupley would have damaged something in there just making a...
I don't know. I just know that this is something that he expressed to me.
Well, it's just an odd occurrence. You have to agree they're paying for something they're not getting.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Donald Williams. I live in Jim Lake Subdivision, Aiken, South Carolina. And first of all, Mayor, I want to applaud you on the stance that you're taking tonight. I agree with you 100%. Now, I had a bird's eye view of Woodside Plantation. The morning after the storm, when I stepped outside my door, it looked like a war zone. I'm a United States Marine veteran, and I've been in a war zone before. And the residents of Jim Lakes pulled together We cleared roads. We contacted one another. We knocked on doors. We made sure everybody was safe, and we did what we had to do because it was a crisis that was going on. The community was experiencing a crisis. I understand that Woodside experienced the same thing. There were times I even asked my wife, all the trucks are on the Woodside, okay? My personal opinion. They finally made it to Jim Lakes. They cleared, I think, Silver Bluff Road was the primary road they were concerned of, trying to get to different areas. And the Aiken crew did a heck of a job. I commend Rick, all the emergency services, SCNG, all the emergency services that participated during the storm cleanup. Were the lessons learned? I'm sure. Is there a different way we could have done business? I'm sure. You guys will probably figure that out and fix it. But to stand here and bring up a point of because we didn't follow protocol or to say that there was a step missing in the emergency services way of doing business doesn't justify or what took place. I understand what you're saying. I agree. It wasn't pre-authorized. They paid the price, and they should bear the burden like we all did. I spent several thousand dollars of my own money, not for my yard primarily, for the cul-de-sac, around the corner, down the street. We all did. Now, is there a problem that should be fixed? I agree. But you're not going to fix it by reimbursing an organization or a neighborhood that went ahead and, people don't want to use the term, jumped the gun, if you will, or maybe was misinformed. But I don't think City of Aiken should reimburse with that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else would like to speak? Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Can you review the motion, please?
What?
Can you review the motion?
Motion to deny the request.
Not to pay Woodside. Not to reimburse.
Zero reimbursement.
Zero reimbursement.
Zero reimbursement.
To deny the request for reimbursement.
No, that's your motion.
What are you saying?
So your motion is zero reimbursement.
Yes.
No reimbursement.
Yes.
For anybody.
Okay. Yes. Okay. We have a motion and a second for that. Okay. Show of hands of all those who agree. Okay. Passes 4. And that's a majority.
Okay. Let me ask the city attorney a question. We need 2 motions and 2 votes to have zero reimbursement?
No, sir.
No.
But that was the motion that the mayor made. I was going to ask council as a practical matter, you have to have 2 readings of an ordinance in order to approve an ordinance. Basically, you have an ordinance now that seeks to not modify the budget.
We have 2 ordinances that say to do that. Well, the first one was voted down, so it disappears. And the second one is voted down, so it disappears.
Well, I was going to ask, does council want to have second reading of an ordinance that does not amend the budget? Or would you rather just let this go away?
No.
Yeah. So it was a motion. I mean, better phrasing might be that it was a motion to deny the request for reimbursement,
right.
At which point a 4-3 vote turning it down, that would be the end of it, right?
Right.
It's just rather odd on all the other motions that we've had that were voted down the first time we voted on them, they just went away.
But I mean, council had the right to make a different motion other than just the zero. Council could have made another motion on a different dollar figure.
If we have first reading and it's not adopted, there's no second reading. It's dead.
Right.
On any issue.
No second reading on either one of them.
Right.
No.
I'm sorry.
If you pass that second motion for the first reading, you have to have a second reading.
I'm asking council's indulgence. If council wants to have second reading, we can certainly have second reading. As a practical matter, what you have voted to approve is no modification of the budget.
Stay consistent.
Right.
Why don't we stay consistent and have a second reading?
Steve, the reason I brought it up is because I heard other council members saying they wanted this to be the end of it.
Right.
I mean,
but in the past, when we have had a first reading, if we haven't voted to approve the first reading, the issue is dead. We don't go to a second reading.
That's right.
We never have.
Yeah, but that was the first motion. That was the one that's on the board.
Well, his motion was defeated.
The mayor had a second motion,
which was accepted. That's right.
Well, okay, I see your point.
The second,
fourth,
the second, so you have to have a second reading.
I see your point.
If the motion had been worded to deny the request for reimbursement, period, would it have ended it?
If there had been no second motion, there would not need to have been a vote.
Okay. So your interpretation is, do we have to have a second reading or no? I think
if council does not want to have second reading of an ordinance where the first reading has said we do not want to modify the budget, we can take this off and be done with it.
Then we need to vote on
that.
We had a motion, we voted, or got voted down to modify the budget. The second one had nothing to do with the budget. The second one had zero reimbursement for the storm damage and debris clearance.
Yes, sir.
That is totally separate. It has nothing to do with the budget, but it requires a second reading.
No, the ordinance was to amend the budget. That was the ordinance before council. The ordinance was to amend.
That's not what the mayor's motion was.
Essentially, his motion was to amend the budget for $0, which is not an amendment. All I'm saying is we can bring it back for second reading if you want to. Do you want the crowd to come back in as a practical matter?
I think these folks have heard enough.
Right.
We don't need a second reading.
You don't need to do that to them.
I mean, you're saying it's okay.
Yes.
What we did was okay. Okay, that's it. Let's move on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It closes an unfortunate chapter in the city.
Well, we all have our thoughts, don't we, Reggie? Thank goodness we do.
Oh, yeah. You know his
Joanne, the high school. Okay. Item two under new business, approval of a resolution authorizing funding for water and sewer infrastructure improvement. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Tonight we have Will Williams, I believe, somewhere out there. There he is. And he would like to discuss with council a potential business that would like to locate in the city of Aiken. Typically, this would not come before council, except for the fact that this industry uses a lot of water and sewer, and the expense for the sewer, before they come, we felt it would be appropriate for council to determine whether or not you're willing to spend this money for the infrastructure improvements to accommodate this industry. So you have a resolution before you tonight where EDP is asking City Council to pass the attached resolution authorizing funding estimated at $790,000 for improvements to the water and sewer with reimbursement from the state of about $100,000. $187,000 would come from an impact fee, and if you went with a couple of other more shifts, it would be an additional $187,000 for each shift. So with that, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll turn it over to Will.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is a job creation opportunity investment of a company that's potentially looking to locate in the city of Aiken at the Willowrun Spec Building. They've been considering multiple locations in the southeast, and they will be potentially bringing 27 jobs at about $40,000 a year. And they're not, while Mr. LeDoux did state they're a heavy water and sewer user, the way that they discharge the water would need some improvements on the Willow Run lift station, and that's the reason for the they use about 1 million gallons of water a month based on their preliminary findings, and for the building to be able to accommodate the industry, there will have to be improvements. The city has been shortlisted to one of four communities in the southeast for this project. It's about a $10 million initial investment and 27 jobs.
Let me just make one other statement. If you approve this tonight, that's still not a guarantee that it comes.
That's correct. If this motion does pass tonight, that just means we get to stay alive in the game.
Okay. Discussion time?
But to stay alive, we're going to have to invest $790,000?
If they come, you have to invest $700,000. If they don't come, if they choose another location, then it's a moot point.
But again, of that 790,000, 100,000 come from the state.
That's correct.
187,000 come from the initial impact fee.
Correct.
Well, I sent you a letter with some thoughts.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, I want to just say I know you've worked long and hard on this. You worked long and hard on everything you do in trying to get business to our community, a larger community as well. But I have some concerns, and I'd like to just state them real quickly, and then hopefully, you know, maybe they can be resolved. I've been involved in several business situations in the past, and in each case, we were able to meet the folks who were the principals of the companies before any decision was made. To me, tonight is a decision time. You're asking for a decision for a certain thing. So I find this a little tough. That you don't get to meet the folks who are asking you to do something for up to $700,000, and you don't get to meet them beforehand. Number two, there's no sure way of knowing how long this would be successful and keep going and growing. And of course, that's true with a lot of these, but this is such a small business. And again, not sitting down and being able to talk to these folks a little bit and getting a little bit better feel, that gives me a problem. Number three, one of the big points mentioned was that the employees would live in the city limits and pay taxes. And that was one of the things we talked about, is bringing back money into the city. Some may. Maybe most won't. You know, the county is very close to this area where this is, and it would be very easy for county residents to apply for some of these jobs and live in the county and basically not help in the city at all, as I see it. Number four, it seems to me the city would be putting a lot of money into this project at a time when we have budget concerns ourselves. And number five, we are not sure they would have more than one shift. You know, if you felt like they might have two shifts, three shifts, and that would be providing more jobs and more revenue perhaps to the city. But obviously, again, there's no, we don't know for sure that they would do that. And then personally, I feel rushed into making a decision on this project. And I just don't feel comfortable making a decision under these conditions. And I read that because I could read it easier and I could say it faster, too. So that's how I feel about it. And maybe someone else can convince me, and maybe some others.
Well, if I may, I'd like to try and answer some of those questions. The company has visited the community once already. And they met with city staff. They've met with Mr. Benbow, Ms. Abney, and Mr. Grinton on a previous meeting. And the owners and members of the company do have a visit scheduled in the very near future. And while you're correct that we don't know where the employees will live. Chances are they'll bring one person, maybe two people from the operation. Now, this company is 40 years old. They have 2,500 people roughly employed throughout the country in 40 different locations. Mm-hmm. My guess is for a small operation, $10 million is not something that they're just, that they're not going about their due diligence just as city council is going about their due diligence as
well.
So, you know, this is the opportunity for 27 people to work in the city limits of Aiken, and they may live elsewhere, but they also could purchase goods and services from within the city limits of Aiken. They could buy lunch, they could purchase fuel, groceries, things like that, and we can't guarantee where they live, but obviously, you know, we would hope as many people in the region could get employment. I do believe, based on the research that I have, and once you have the opportunity to meet the company, I think your comfort level would be much greater. But what I will say this evening is, if this measure is approved, we continue to play the game. If this measure fails, then we're out of the game. And I certainly understand budget shortfalls, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but I do believe that you all will have that rectified very soon. However, I don't know how many opportunities we'll get for 27 jobs that pay $40,000 a year to come come to this community again.
Well, you've got two other cities, I guess, that are vying for this. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Three others besides Aiken.
It just seems having to make an investment, a monetary investment in this company for them to come as well?
I'm not aware, Ms. Diggs. No, ma'am. I can't comment one way or the other on that.
It just seems like they're really pushing when they say that, hey, if you don't do this, you know, you're out of it. If you don't, without us even meeting them. I don't like that at all, I'll tell you. Maybe everybody else does, but I don't. You know, $700,000 is a lot of money, and I don't know if that's even all we'd have to put into this. We're going to have to what? What are we going to do with the water line?
It should be adequate.
Okay. I mean, the capacity that's in this lift station is to accommodate their future growth, not what they would initially invest and do.
Suppose they leave after 2 years. Suppose something happens and, you know, they no longer want to be in business.
Well, I mean, there are certain protections that the city can put into place that could potentially recoup that investment through clawbacks, and I'm sure Mr. Smith can advise us on how best to structure those, but I know on most property tax transactions we do with industry, there are clawback measures that if the company doesn't meet their job requirement and their investment that tax.
I wouldn't expect a clawback to work.
I think Mr. Smith needs to comment on that. This is an investment in infrastructure and not an investment in manufacturing. Yeah. You need to comment.
And it's not a tax either, which allows the clawback provision. I'm not sure you would be able to.
Can I make a point of order? Normally, when we bring an item, somebody makes a motion and then we discuss it. We're discussing it at this point with no motion.
Okay, make a motion, Dick. What motion do you want to make?
I'll move that we approve the approval of the resolution authorizing funding for water and sewer infrastructure improvement.
Okay, very good.
Do
we have a second? All right. We can now continue our discussion.
Will.
Yes, ma'am.
These are not 20 jobs right away. This begins with about 12 jobs?
It begins with 14 jobs. In the first shift, and then probably within the next 18 months there would be 13 additional jobs.
And what determines bringing the other additional folks here? Is it volume?
As their customer base grows. And obviously they must have customers in this region to be looking in the southeast.
They must have?
I don't think you
We hope they have.
Well, I mean, I don't think they, most of the time, the companies that we deal with aren't on a speculative basis. They're coming for a reason.
Well, you know, as much as I'd like to get that spec building occupied, I don't know, something about this gives me heartburn. What if we had somebody else come forward and wanted to go ahead and take this building and use it and not require that we put up all this money up front?
Well, don't we have somebody?
Hopefully.
And that current company exists already in this community. These would be new positions.
And we pay a business license tax and pay for the water they use.
I had one other concern that I failed to mention, and it may not amount to anything or might not be that important, but it's a location with trucks going in and out near the funeral home and other homes close by. Do we want to let the neighbors know about this? Does that concern anybody else?
Well, there's depends on what way the trucks are going to go, obviously.
That makes a big difference.
You know, that Buford Street used to be 118 before Rudy Mason was completed, and there's still a fair amount of truck traffic already and a lot of commercial and business traffic on Rudy Mason. And, of course, there is the concrete batch plant that is not in the city limits, but it is just adjacent to the property. So there is traffic there, and you know this isn't going to be a distribution center. This, I don't know their truck count, but I'm basing they'll probably have 7-8 trucks a day.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't see any substantial impact on what's already going on Buford Street.
Is there any way we could talk to these folks, continue this item and talk to them? When are they coming in?
I believe next week.
If council is interested in that, maybe we're not. Maybe.
It would be nice to meet them and hear from them. I just don't feel like I could make a decision on that tonight without meeting them up front and hearing more from them.
Now, as I understand the way the process works, if we don't approve this resolution tonight, then they will not consider building an Aiken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not just the way it is. I don't say that very leaning one way or the other, but as I understand what you said.
The purpose of the visit is to make some final, they're going to be visiting the four finalist communities. They will tour the building. They'll want to make sure that there is a plan in place for the infrastructure, and then their decision will be reached on where they're going to locate by Thanksgiving. And this project's been going on since May.
Mm-hmm. Where do we get the money for this, if it is approved? What does it come out of?
And again, I know this is somewhat premature, but we had talked about when we restructure our budget, trying to come up with enough revenue that we could do some economic development and to set aside funds for future growth items like this. So right now we do not have any money, and so the money would have to come from our utility or general fund reserves. And again, initially you'd be talking somewhere around $500,000, depending on, as Will was stating, we might be able to go ahead and accommodate the first shift with doing very little upgrades to the system we have. And when the second shift would come, then we could look at the major upgrades. But again, we've only done preliminary engineering on it at this point in time. So everything you see here is the best estimate as to what we feel would be necessary if we went to a full three-shift operation.
Wasn't the Aiken Corporation somehow, didn't they offer a certain amount?
There is an assistance here, and that's why I said the impact fee would be paid for through them.
Yes.
Is that really a benefit to the city, or I mean, where did they get their money from? I mean, is it real?
That'd be part of the sale of the property.
Right. So when you say $500,000, that's including you've taken that impact fee out of the equation.
The impact fee and the $100,000 from the state.
Were they not asking us to waive the impact fee initially?
They were.
And they compromised on?
No. In Aiken Corporation.
Aiken Corporation is going to pay.
So Aiken Corporation is paying the impact, and that's the issue, that's the problem that I had earlier with my concern with them not having $187,000 for the impact fee. They want us to waive that, so.
Mm-hmm.
How long has that building existed?
8 years.
13, that building's been there since 2000.
It's been unoccupied for 8 years.
That building was constructed in 2003. It was constructed by Aiken Corp and with the assistance of SCANA.
We're all anxious to see something go into that that area. There have been other attempts with the last one was the gun range. I look at the proximity of that building, with, as the mayor has stated, with the residential neighborhood across the street. And I don't know enough about this proposed company to determine if it is a suitable site for whatever they're producing under Project Cloud. You would think that they'd be good neighbors, but I'm not absolutely sure. Everything is a cloud and a Project Cloud, so it's a mysterious company coming in.
No, this is a first reading, and basically
No. It's a resolution.
This is a resolution.
No.
This is the money being decided.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're deciding the money today.
But I think, Mr. City Attorney, you need to confirm if we pass this resolution, that's a commitment. And Mr. Mayor, that's a commitment. So the resolution doesn't authorize the money, but it commits the money. So we need to.
City Council will be telling the purchaser, if you buy this property, we're prepared to spend, prepared to find a way to get the money to do the infrastructure
right.
work.
So we need to be clear here tonight. We're making two decisions tonight. But really, if we'd make a yes vote, we make two decisions. We make a no vote, will they just go away?
You're voting that yes, we do want the company here if they so choose us.
Well, what problems would they have with talking to just a few people before
that's the intent of the visit, is to be able to meet the building and tie up any last minute details.
But they want us to make an investment before, let's say, the mayor or someone else meet with them.
I think we can certainly accommodate that.
I think it needs to be more than just the mayor.
Well, I'm just throwing.
I think at least a majority of council needs to meet with them.
Well, that's.
You probably don't want to do a public meeting.
But that is not the way economic development is done.
I think just council.
How much more negotiation do you expect between the company on what their requirements are going to be? I mean, this is not the last request, right?
I don't see. There have been no other pushbacks. Now, that's not to say that there won't be, but I think with the infrastructures in place, or can be approved that it will be improved, that it will be in place, that everything else will move forward. The building is priced accordingly, and the company, if they're going to make a decision by Thanksgiving.
Okay, I'm still bothered by the same points I made, so I'm not going to support it. Are we ready to vote?
I'd be.
There might be more.
It's not cast in concrete. Obviously, if we find out they don't have any further arguments, if this is all it costs, if that is satisfactory and they go forward. It's a company that's been around for 40 years, you say, and apparently they're expanding. So, one, that place has been standing out there totally underutilized for how many years. And, I think it could be a spark. And even if the company leaves after 2, 3, 5 years, we will have an enhanced infrastructure which may appeal to some future company coming in.
I understand all that. I'm concerned about our budget, Steve.
Well, what I'm looking at is that this sounds on surface like a worthwhile investment. Not anyone on council having met with these individuals or had any conversation face to face, we don't know for certain. I'm wondering whether it's too much of a stretch, since they're coming here, for us to table this until we've had a chance to meet with them and talk with them.
If you don't pass this resolution, they may decide not to come here.
Well, that's what we're
saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'll certainly call tomorrow and tell them that we don't have the infrastructure in place.
If they, I'm sure they understand the comment being good stewards of the taxpayers' money. And to make this kind of decision blindly, without having met no one here, unless someone, if you have, let me know, met these individuals, I don't know whether I can justify supporting something that no one has on council can attest to the fact that they've met with them and it's a sound decision. So
I was under the impression that they would be here tonight.
No.
Normally those decisions are...
Yeah.
Well, I'm very, very torn on this thing. The building's been there for 11 years. We haven't had, nor will we get, many opportunities to sell it. It's unfortunate that its proximity is so close to other businesses or homes. That was a decision that was made, I guess, when it was built. Or maybe those things have come along and located near it since it was built. But my feeling is some of the things that you do for the city for economic development, you don't do it because you're going to make money off of it. You do it because it's good for the residents, the citizens, the taxpayers. And if it offers jobs and if it creates a positive net effect to our tax base and our economy, then there's a lot of good that can come from it. I'm very torn because I have a strong allegiance to another organization who's interested in the building. It's tearing me up. But ultimately, I have to look at this one issue at a time. This is one issue related to the city not entering into agreement, but keeping the door open to a possible agreement with an employer. If this was presented on its own, I'd be in favor of it. With the other party that's interested in the building, I have to divorce those two issues, one from the other, and look at it one at a time. So I still think that this investment that the city would make is not an investment in this business. It's an investment in our citizens and our local economy and the contribution that this business will make. This is $10 million. That's going to create some jobs, temporary jobs, but then it's going to create 27, we're hoping, permanent jobs. Making $40,000 a year, that's no small thing. And what those people may or may not spend in this town, whether they live in the city limits or not, notwithstanding property tax dollars, what they will spend in this town is good for us. So as much as I feel a yearn for the other people interested in this property, I still think the right thing for us to do is to support an economic investment that will, for once and for all, do something with this property and at the same time contribute positively to our local economy.
Let me just make a comment. In the early 2000s, when council made a decision to develop this park, Willow One Park, the major reason the location was picked was to bring jobs and to bring businesses to this area of the city. That at that particular time, we were looking for how do we bring in property that could be a part of the city, could be annexed to the city, because we had no industry at that time inside the city. We still don't have any industry because this building is not located or filled. But again, the primary purpose was how do we go ahead and bring jobs to this area of our city of Aiken. We knew at that time there was going to be truck traffic. In fact, we looked on several different occasions as this being a distribution center. And if it was a distribution center, there would have been a lot of truck traffic going back and forth into the building. So the issues on truck traffic and where it's at and why it's there, this was discussed in the early 2000s now. Maybe it's changed. Maybe citizens in that area don't want industry in that particular location. Whether or not you decide this is the right thing to do for this company or not, that's certainly a decision that council has to make. The reason why I brought it before you tonight, and had to think long and hard on this. We knew the company was going to be coming to the area sometime in the next few weeks, and we wanted to be able to at least say everything's cleared and decisions have been made to have the right infrastructure for your company at that particular time. We really didn't want to have a company come and then a week or 2 weeks later making the decision, oh, sorry, we did not decide to support you. So I felt it was better to try to come up with a decision tonight to either, A, we could support this or we're not going to support it, so that they don't have to come and make a trip to Aiken if that was not going to be the case. So if there's any reason why it's here tonight, it's because there's a decision that I felt was important for the city to make and to help roll out one way or the other in dealing with these types of companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just add that Will has worked long and hard to try to get something in that building, knowing that it was almost like an albatross around our necks. They're trying to get something suitable. And certainly 11 years is a long time to wait to get a facility occupied. We do need jobs on the north side of town, but I'm going to add a but to this. You have to look at the location, and I think you looked at other locations for this facility. You looked at the industrial park, is that not right? And that was, what were the issues there?
I looked at I showed them two other locations, and they came back to this facility because the facility's constructed already, which saves time for them to get up and operational, and just having things in place, being close, but primarily a building. Buildings are a huge driver in economic development these days.
Will they own the building?
They will purchase the building and own it.
I got a question. I'm not familiar with the contending entity that's looking at the building. Is that
really not something we can discuss tonight in open session? If we need to, we could always go into an executive session and discuss that.
I was going to say, maybe we should go in an executive session, find out what our real options are, because I'm not familiar with it, and apparently some members are.
Fine by me.
Council desire to go into executive session.
Do we need to take a vote on this first?
If you want to go into executive session, you would need to take a vote.
Well, I know that.
The purpose of the executive session would be discuss proposed sale or purchase of real estate. Well, I take that back. This really isn't a sale that the city's involved in because the city doesn't own the property.
Mm-hmm. Aiken Corporation owns the property.
Right, it's true. So you would not be able to have that discussion in executive session. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think there's other people here.
Well, yeah, right. A motion and a second on the floor anyway.
Well, but what, yeah, it is not.
Other folks you can go into executive session while there's a motion on the floor.
Okay, but
this would not be an appropriate discussion.
But the only one that doesn't know?
Is she going to sue?
That's what you get for leaving the country.
Philip, what'd you say?
Well, I'm not certain, but there are other folks here who may or may not want to speak on the issue.
Well, if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may be welcome to do. You're welcome to do that.
If you're going to speak, you have to come up for the recording.
We need to get that lovely voice.
We've got another one in the audience
too. So it's lovely voice, lovely face.
No, I just have a question as to where on Beaufort Street this is located and how far it is from the Highfield Horse Park. Because my concern is that during the daytime and nighttime too, if there's a lot of truck movement in and out and a lot of noise and commotion, that makes the Highfield area just unworkable.
I'm not sure it would affect that at all.
I don't know how far.
It's kind of back of those back of buildings or something.
It's next to the SPCA.
Yeah, it's on down further.
Buford
and Willow.
Okay, so it's down. It's way down there.
Right
by the land.
Several
miles
away. Yes. Yeah. That's where it is. Right. It wouldn't impact that at all.
So they'd be coming. Actually, they'd be coming probably more by Rudy Mason, mm-hmm. and then down Willow Road.
Possible down Highway 1.
Right.
The back way.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if they were restricted to coming down Royal Road to Rudy Mason and then just not have that heavy traffic coming on Beaufort. See what I'm saying?
Well, I would think, Ms. Shelby, that they're going to come off of, you know, they're going to be looking for Interstate 20. They're going to come off of Rudy Mason and drop on to Buford.
Exactly.
And right there.
Exactly.
They're not going to wiggle through that back road in front of SPCA and run off in the ditch all the time. They're going to hit the main roads.
Well, is it possible then to put a restriction or something in there that is the way that they have to come
around? My understanding, these are state highways, and all the roads surrounding that property are state highways, so we wouldn't be able to do that.
So if they wanted to try and wiggle-waggle through Buford and come down Richland or whatever, they could do that.
I think your concrete trucks, if you go look at the road where they drive on and off the road, you'll see what happens with big trucks.
Especially after heavy rain. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Barber.
Mayor and Council, I'm Tad Barber of 334 Walker Avenue. I am here as a representative of a client who has an interest in the same property, who actually has a bona fide written offer to Aiken Corporation to buy the property. And that entity is the Children's Place, which we all know has been around in Aiken for some 40 years. I've got Peggy Ford and some of her volunteers with me here. But I think in an effort to allow the council to make an informed decision and know the entire picture as to what's going on with this property, it's unfortunate that it's sat vacant for as long as it has, and then all of a sudden everybody seems to want the building. That's a good thing. Bad thing is somebody's going to get it and somebody's not. But essentially, what we've got is an offer to the Aiken Corporation that, from a financial picture, is a better value for Aiken Corporation. There are no impact fees that Aiken Corporation has to pay. They would like to close this after they do their due diligence by the year end. There's no cost to the city because there'll be no infrastructure upgrade requirement. There'll be nothing lost in terms of Aiken Corporation and having to give up part of the purchase proceeds to go towards the impact fee. Children's Place right now has somewhere around 14 jobs that they have. They will be able to go from a 5,000 square foot facility to a much larger facility. By doing that, they'll be able to take on more programs and increase their payroll as well. So just one program can bring on some six or seven more positions. And these are positions that are professionals, they're psychologists, those type. There will be some salaries would be somewhere in the $35,000, $40,000 range. The other thing, just to point out, that as far as that property and the thing that I think the council probably should look at is the zoning on that property is limited manufacturing, which if you look in the zoning ordinance, it says that limited manufacturing provides low and medium intensity manufacturing and industrial uses that do not overburden the infrastructure or the public services. So it becomes a question of whether you're potentially overburdening the infrastructure by having to add to it, or if that's what the infrastructure would be. That's a question that you need to decide. But this is a again, there's a contract, there's some due diligence. It's not a guarantee. If they run into a situation where they determine that they, from a structural standpoint or something like that, they wouldn't be able to build on it. But really, at this point, it's a matter of just determining what the cost is going to be and whether the first thing we've already started the process is determine if the walls can be cut open so they can put doors and windows for egress and ingress. and because it is a tilt-up design building. So we're in the process of having that looked at, even though our contract has not yet been accepted. It's basically been put on hold, and Aiken Corporation has given Will's client an opportunity to make a decision. The problem is this goes forward, and Children's Place has to take a back seat. They're going to have to be looking as though they're not going to get this property, and they will possibly end up buying another piece of land or another building and have to do either a new building or renovation to it. So it probably makes it as clear as mud for you right now to make a decision, but I think you need to know that there's actually two opportunities on this property. The both of them, I think, in the long run, would be good for the community.
Very good. Very good.
Is the 6 jobs immediate, pretty much, if the building is suitable for this client?
Katie can answer more clearly to that, but my understanding is these are programs, or this one program in particular, is one that Children's Place has had to decline.
Okay.
They've been asked to take it. They don't have the facilities to be able to take it. So
but possibly
I assume
more
there will be an opportunity to bring it back on.
Okay.
Behavior health positions.
Pardon me?
Behavior health positions.
I'm not saying you answer that.
Competition. Ted, let me ask a question quick. You may have said it, and I may have missed it, but there's some property. If Children's Place was to get this, then there's some property left vacant, right? What happens to that property where they are now, in other words?
That's part of the financial package that we're offering to Aiken Corporation because there would be cash purchase without getting into the details. And the trade of their property. Then Aiken Corporation is part of their mission is to also improve the housing
right.
in the
right.
area. So they were looking at it as an improvement for housing in that particular neighborhood.
Sure. And that's good. That's good for that package. How much land is it? Do you have any idea that they might have?
Pardon me?
Is it 2 blocks or 1 block or a block and a half?
It's 4 parcels. There's what I call the main
two
building.
In front and two in
on the corner. There's an office next to it, and there's 2 lots on Union Street.
So the opportunity to actually put up some houses in
that would be good for the city.
Mm-hmm. And that's on the corner of Fairfield
and Barnwell and Union. And
right.
It's not on the corner of Union and Barnwell, but just off the corner and,
exactly.
and 2 lots off the corner. 2-3 houses off.
Well, that would be good for the city as well.
Right.
That property would become homes.
Hi, I'm Peggy Ford. Okay. I've been the director at Children's Place now for a little more than 25 years. Mm-hmm. The 5 jobs or 6 jobs that we turned down on an offered contract from the state would have been human service jobs. They would involve working with families. Behavioral health is a little off from what that description would be, but they would have been family service workers who would have been looking at functioning of families. That would have actually covered the work would have been in multiple counties as well as in the county of Aiken. The 6 jobs that would become immediately would be behavioral health, and they would be mental health specialists working directly with children and families.
Mm-hmm.
And Peggy, there's possibility for growth with that as you look down the road?
Yes, we actually are still working with the University of Arizona and the University of Oregon in development of programs and have been approached with some national interest for work that we're doing and for expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the connection with your business and Children's Place and how that would work if you utilize that facility. Some of your students that you have are also at Head Start.
We don't share any students with Head Start.
Okay.
we've certainly talked to Head Start years ago about some collaborative ventures. That has never taken off. Right now, the collaborative partners that we would be looking at joining us with that building would be some other community agencies. If we went forward with that, that is still in the very early stages, but several community agencies are interested in that. But again, we're at only the talking phase. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give you the impression that there's been anything more than some discussion, but there's been a lot of interest and a lot of discussion. But that's still sort of very nebulous at this point. Our bigger concern that we have is with the number of children we have on site, we would instantly be able to grow by 20 children, the number of children and families we could serve. And that would include an increasing job capacity. But with that becomes lots of DHEC regulations and rules that have to be met. And our bigger concern would be how quickly we can evacuate that building. And that is a question that we don't have an answer to at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Ted, a question. You mentioned you're looking at the walls to see if you could put some other doors in. Does that have anything to do with your interest in that building? Suppose you can't do it.
If we can't do it, we wouldn't be able to meet fire code as required for child care facility, so we could not.
Okay. Well, and you don't know for sure that you can do it. Is that right?
We have had a discussion with the general contractor who built the building, and that they sent, we have a volunteer architect who's helping us, and he's reviewing the plans that they've given us, but ultimately it will need to go to a structural engineer to make that final determination.
Okay.
That's correct. So, I mean, at this point, we would go from a contract to a due diligence period where we would have to find that out. But given that we were delayed until this issue was brought up, that we've moved ahead and had some conversations, at least getting those issues out on the table. So that would be number one. It's a situation where we felt like we could make a determination as to whether or not the building was usable based on that information fairly quickly, that we'd be able to know that inside of 30 days. It's been, I can't remember the exact date, but it's been at least 2 weeks since we've made the proposal to Aiken Corporation. So we've got some information we felt like we proceeded along, but we have had discussions about other properties and what's available in case the industrial use is the one that gets approved and they choose Aiken. So we're prepared to look elsewhere. The question is, you know, whether we can find a building that we can renovate. The good thing about this building is the same reason that Will's people like it. It's a shell and we can build up from within. We don't have to do any demolition other than cut out doors and windows.
Yeah. And when do you think you'll find out about the doors and windows?
Well, I think it's going to be easily within the next 10 days, 2 weeks, and it's a matter of whether it's going to cost anything and whether the Children's Place is in a position to spend money when they don't have the property under contract.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a good deal if it would work, you know, with if you could put the windows and doors in it. I guess if you can, it's a dead deal if you can, as I understand. Is that right? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Peggy.
Rick.
Okay.
Rick has his hand up.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Rick Ford. I'm married to Peggy Ford.
I've been in Hounds Lake until later tonight, perhaps. As Philip has a conflict with wanting only the best for Children's Place, I also have an issue about this for the city. I really only have a question, and what's been said tonight I think I understand, but my question is, if you pass this resolution, all you're really doing is telling this company that the city is ready to put the infrastructure in place if this company chooses Aiken. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so you have then the option to pull that money back and do whatever else you want with it. You don't have to put that into that infrastructure. Is that correct?
If they don't come.
Okay. That's all I ask. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
I think that's a good point that he made. You know, the risk is, I'm very conflicted because I was on the board of Children's Place for I think 17 years. I've it's the nearest and dearest thing to my heart in Aiken. But the risk is, of course, ending up with neither. Right now we have the luxury of both, but the risk is ending up with neither. And so, you know, I'm torn to pieces over it, but I think we have to look at one thing at a time. If we, as Rick Ford just said, if we pass the resolution, it doesn't guarantee that this building becomes a manufacturing facility. It doesn't preclude it from ever being Children's Places. Children's Place can still own it. It's sort of a bad situation that Aiken Corporation has put us in, because Children's Places is the only real offer on the table in writing on this. But the Will Williams had gotten to Aiken Corporation first, and they're honoring the verbal commitment they gave Will. So it ends up putting us in a tough spot to make this tough decision. As much as I, you know, dream about Children's Place being there and the kids playing on a brand new playground, I think we've got to think with our city hat on, you know, in order to do the best we can to preserve both opportunities. I'm not relishing this vote at all, but I think, you know, the risk is that we might end up with neither. And there's one of the two that we have some control over. The other one, you know, depends on some engineers and some other things. So that's my comment.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this? I think we've got a motion and a second, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I agree with Philip. I'm just, this is hard. This is very difficult. I know Peggy too, been knowing Peggy for over 25 years, and both of my daughter did internships at Children's Place, and I know the good work that they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are we ready? We have got a motion and a second for approval, as I understand, right? Show of hands, all in favor of going with Will's project. Okay. One, two, okay. It passes by majority. So, Will, you got it. Okay. Item three, resolution to accept donation of property at 817 Pinecrest Avenue from Wells Fargo and Company. Do we have a motion second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we deny accepting this property at 817 Pinecrest Ave from Wells Fargo, right? I'll just make a motion and make a comment if it's seconded.
Okay. You got a motion. And we know
second.
How you feel. I mean, know how you feel. Okay, second.
I just don't see any benefit. I mean, it's in the middle of the county. If there were adjoining properties that could annex to the city because we did this,
it might mitigate it, but what do we need another empty lot for? The county would want it.
Well, certainly there'll be some funding that'll have to go in, you know, maintenance or whatever. And I know Roger and I talked about this quite a bit, too.
Is this something what would be appropriate for to approach Habitat or other groups that would build a house there? Is that for the city manager to do, or for a council person that works with Habitat? Or, you know, because from looking at the pictures, the lot is large enough to build a house on it that would probably mm-hmm. work there. How do we? What is the appropriate way to contact Wells Fargo?
This is obviously an unusual request, and I just recall back in the mid-2000s that when we were working on the Tool Hill area, there were several council members at that time said, one of the next areas we really like to go ahead and clean up and get working on is Pinecrest. And we said, well, until we get Tool Hill, then we want to get Edgewood next, and then if you want, we could start looking at Pinecrest. And so this, I just saw this as an opportunity that if, since that area is surrounded by the city, and if you look in the map, that's, well, I guess you, my monitor's not working, so you have it on your monitor at your desk. We surround this area fairly much, and someday we just felt like we would probably be getting into that area. We certainly know that the boundary in there between city and county, the animals don't know the boundary limits. Stormwater doesn't know the boundary limits, and crime definitely doesn't know the boundary limits. And so any time we could clean up that area and get it cleaned up a little bit, there's no house on it. It's a vacant piece of land. Whether Habitat went in there or whether 5 or 10 years from now we go ahead and start massing the accumulation of that, it's an area that we felt at least 10 years ago was a priority that we wanted to get into. Do we need to accept it? No. We did back in the mid-2000s accept another piece of property that's in that area. So again, it was a clean piece of property. We didn't have to do any maintenance on it. Would we have to do any maintenance in the future? Probably not, or very minimal. But again, we just looked at this as a possible opportunity. At the same time, we talked to Wells Fargo. They're also talking to us about some other property they're trying to get cleaned up, again, just because of defaulting on loans and other things. So again, it's just strictly up to council, but we were just looking at long-term future planning.
Roger, this is a donation.
This is strictly a donation.
No cost to us.
No, they're willing to pay the legal fees and everything to give us the property.
And we could use that to help the community?
Eventually, yes.
Yes.
Eventually.
Okay.
There's some liabilities, too, of course. There's liabilities there, of course. Anytime you have a piece of property and it's surrounded, it looks like. I mean, anything happens on that, I guess we're liable if we take it over.
Is the lot big enough for one house?
Or? Just for one house, yes. And again, we could talk to a Habitat or someone like that potentially. What you really want to do in an area like that is to try to mass several lots eventually.
Right.
To really make a difference in that neighborhood.
What's the condition of the homes around it?
They're in very bad shape.
Mm-hmm. Are they occupied?
Are
they occupied right now?
The houses that are in that area, some are vacant, some are...
Right next to this particular
house. Right next to it?
Yeah.
Stuart, do you remember if there are... I didn't look at it in that viewpoint.
The house adjacent to it on the corner that's contiguous diagonally to the city limits is boarded up.
Any others?
The other adjoining houses appear to be occupied.
Yeah.
I mean, there's vehicles and folks, you know, they appear to be occupied.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion in the second already for, I assume, not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You all ready? Show of hands then for those who don't want to do it. I guess we put that. Okay. Opposed? Well, you don't have to raise your
hand. It may happen.
I think we know. Okay. Item 4, first reading of an ordinance for advance funding.
Let me state for the record that we already have a precedent for accepting properties in other neighborhoods. And let that be a lesson for the record as we go back and accept other properties. I'm stating that for the record.
Item 4, first reading of an ordinance to advance funding approval for the Lloyd Town Water Tank Painting Project.
Yes, I'm going to read this by its title. It's an authorization borrowing from the City of Aiken General Fund Reserve Account as outlined in this ordinance for the purpose of funding the Lloyd Town Water Tank Painting Project. This is a project that I believe Council knew we had to get this tank painted. We got several bids in on this. Utility Services Incorporated was a low bid of $145,000. We're proposing that, again, this is the ideal time of the year to be painting that tank because the demand is very low at this time of the year. So we take out a service for the next several months, get it painted, and because the funds are not available at this point in time, we would be borrowing funds from our general reserves, and so it would be an inter-fund loan agreement and note to borrow money from our general fund special holding accounts. We would anticipate that certainly by February we would have the money necessary to pay it back, but again, this project may complete itself before that point in time. In reviewing this, one error that I did make is I should have also stated we'd like to have your approval of the low bid for Utility Services Incorporated, which we could do at the next meeting, or you could go ahead and make that part of the motion if you so desire. And again, the very last page on this package shows we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We had 6 bids, and ranging from $145,000 to $234,000. We've used Utility Services Incorporated on several other painting projects. They've done a good job. But before you tonight is the first reading to borrow the money, but at some point you need to also make approval of the bid that we got before you.
Well, shouldn't that come together tonight?
It'd be great if you could do that. I apologize for not making that a separate motion.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move that we approve the inter-fund loan agreement, that we do change the conditions that would be paid. It says paid no later than December 31st, 2018. And we just discussed this earlier, that it needs to be paid as the money comes in. And there was an unfortunate picked up the wrong thing, and we have several of these that Mr. Smith and Mr. Ledoux know how to correct, so we'll do that. And that'll be some wording change in the note. And then also to agree, include in the motion the successful bid of $145,000. So that's my motion.
Very good. Okay. Do we have a second?
This is a tank that's in back of my house that I've never liked, but I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for approval. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Leslie, maybe you want to change the color. Remember, we had a discussion over the color of the light poles and went down Hampton. So
they don't even want to talk about that.
Okay.
I think my boss just thought he painted it a Gamecock color.
Okay, moving on. Number 5 on the other side of the paper, approval of a master services agreement for professional airport engineering and planning services for the Aiken Municipal Airport with Michael Baker Jr. Incorporated. Mr. LeDuc, please.
We saw proposals for our airport operations. Whenever we make changes or work with the FAA. We use a consultant. Michael Baker has been our consultant for a number of years. We sought out other firms. Only one came back with a proposal, and that was Tolbert Bright in Ellington. We are recommending to stay with Michael Baker. We have had great success with them in the past. We have completed a number of projects over the last 10 years, and we'd like to go ahead and ask council to continue this for the next 5 years with Michael Baker, Jr. Incorporated, Columbia, for professional airport engineering and planning services for our airport.
What's the pricing like here? I mean, is it, you're continuing with him, but that's what you...
Right.
That's what you're saying.
We generally go for 5 years at a time.
Okay.
It's similar to what you'd be having with your audit services, and so we're going to renew it.
I was trying to find the fee, and he uses sub-consultants based on what I read. Did I miss it somewhere in here where...
Well, again, if there was some geotechnical work to be done, surveying work, they may be going out to other consultants.
Do we pay them by the hour? What do we...
And where's George? George has got a bad knee. You want to just shout from there, George?
Yeah. Appreciate that. Some consultants would be on an approved basis. In other words, if they have, as you said, a surveyor or someone like that they need to engage, we would typically give them suggestions of local people to use, or they would suggest that we would negotiate, you know, an appropriate fee. A lot of times the work that they are doing is covered by one of the airport FAA grants. All of this is estimated in advance and arranged.
So their fee is in the grant?
Typically that is correct. But that doesn't mean you can't ask for outside of grant services that we, the city, may wish to engage
with. For instance, let's say that there is a person who wanted to buy or lease some property that adjoined the airport, mm-hmm. and we needed to get some advice on that through them or FAA. Again, we may go to them and say, okay, tell us what you've done at other airports, or give us some suggestions on what to do. But typically, I'd say 95% of the time, it's going to be because of a contractual agreement we have through South Carolina Aeronautics Commission or FAA.
Okay. Any other questions? Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 6, approval of new purpose and need statement for Hitchcock Parkway.
The City of Aiken for a number of years has shown strong support for the widening of the Hitchcock Parkway. And sometime last year, earlier this year, the estimates on the parkway improvements for the widening were going to be about $34.5 million. When we looked at the funding that was available, the $13 million that was available through ARTS, the $9.6 million that the State Infrastructure Bank was going to be giving us, and the $4 million that we had available for the project through the Capital Project Sales Tax funds, we are going to fall $8 million short. The city had asked the county for some assistance with that, and we did not receive any ready availability of funds from the county. So at some point in time, the city need to make a decision. Do we continue with the widening, or do we go ahead with some other format to make improvements for Hitchcock Parkway? We worked with the state of South Carolina in the transportation, and they have suggested that we look at a new purpose and need statement that would be given to the Arts Policy Committee at their November 6th meeting. And I'm going to read the new purpose and statement as to what the improvements would consist of. The purpose of this project is to improve traffic flow, particularly during hours of peak traffic volumes, and improve safety along the corridor through the implementation of various operational improvements. These operational improvements may include, but not limited to, the construction of turn lanes, paved shoulders, passing lanes, and signal improvements. Other benefits will include increased safety for pedestrian and cyclist and continued economic vitality of the city of Aiken. So that would be if you approve it tonight the way it's written, that's what would be given to the policy committee to go ahead and make the necessary changes to start the funding implementation of these improvements. Now, everything has to meet what we call a warrant or regulations by FHWA and SCDOT. But a couple of things that we have discussed with SCDOT at the last meeting I attended with them was more than likely there'd be a 6 to 8 foot shoulder along the entire parkway length. That is what FHWA requires for pedestrian cyclist type an operation on a road like this.
Just on one side?
Both sides.
Both sides?
Both sides, yes. Unbelievable.
I agree.
But the good side about that is if you had ever experienced being on the parkway, when an ambulance is going from the south side to the north side to get to Aiken Regional or University or whatever hospital they're going to, there's a tendency of folks not to go ahead and pull off the road. They just stop on the road. And so the ambulance serpentines back and forth going down the parkway. And I believe, Philip, you were in one when that happened. With the 6 to 8 foot shoulders, people would be able to pull off during those emergency operations, or if a car had some vehicular problems, they could also pull off. So that'll be a great operational and capacity improvements. Also, we'd be looking at right turn lanes at Huntsman at 421. They believe they could also go ahead and make improvements where 421 currently comes into Highway 1. Currently, it's a stop sign condition. So if you're on Hitchcock Parkway, you turn onto 421, you go about a half mile, you hit Highway 1, you stop. Well, there's a third lane there. It could easily be just a merge onto it. And those kind of improvements, again, traffic signal improvements at 421, they'll be looking at Dibble, they'll be looking at operational improvements at Silver Bluff and Pine Log Road, where currently there's a left-hand turn from Silver Bluff, Pine Log Road, left onto Highway 118, South Carolina 118. They're looking at there's probably enough volume at times that a double left-hand turn would be necessary. They'd be looking at a right-hand turn from Silver Bluff onto 118. So those are some of the improvements that they'd be looking at with this change. Again, if you approve this, then our two committee members for the policy committee would go before Arts at the November 6th meeting, present that to them. They would vote on it at the November 6th meeting, and then the process would start as far as the purpose and need statement changes. It has to get the final approval in December from the joint policy committee of Georgia and South Carolina. The major meeting would be the November 6th. The joint meeting of Georgia and South Carolina, if the South Carolina side says this is what we want within our long-range planning, the Georgia side goes along with it and vice versa in most cases. And the mayor's been involved with that for probably a decade or more. So for council's consideration tonight, this is approval of a resolution changing the purpose and need statement for Hitchcock Parkway.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I'll move that we move to approve the new purpose and need statement for Hitchcock Parkway.
Okay. I'll second it.
I've got a question.
Okay.
We played around with some numbers when we decided we're not going to be able to do the widening of Hitchcock Park. But we seem to have allocated, you know, what we felt were the right amounts to do University Parkway, to do Doherty, and then to do, you know, do what was required for the safety.
And this is a good thing, too. We're able to get these projects moving.
Let me just finish.
This is a good thing.
But I don't think any one of us talked about or even knew the requirement from Federal Highway that we're going to have a 6 to 8 foot shoulder on each side. And, you know, as often as I've driven the Hitchcock Parkway, we're talking about bringing in a lot of dirt, you know, just to be able to, you know, very similar to what we were talking about having the shoulders built up so we could have that extra lane. If we're going to have a 6 to 8 foot lane, we still, you know, it's going to increase the cost tremendously. Has somebody played around with the numbers to figure out how much money we're going to have for Doherty and University Parkway?
Yes.
If we, in fact, you know, because our estimate had to go up tremendously, at least by 50%.
There's currently $13 million available through ARTS for any improvements for Hitchcock Parkway. The Highway Department, once this is approved tonight, will be asking their consultants before the meeting on that following Thursday, that's 9 days from now, to come up with a cost estimate so that they'll know exactly what to tell ARTS. Is it going to be $5 million? Is it going to be $6 million, $7 million to do those improvements? The Highway Department feels like there's more than enough money within that $13 million range to be able to accomplish the improvements on Hitchcock Parkway. So we're not anticipating any city funds needing to go forward. But again, our two representatives will know that before the meeting next week, Thursday. As far as the other projects are concerned, CIB has granted, and we'll be getting into this in, I think it's the next item, increasing the amount of funding for University Parkway of $4.6 million. The city would still be providing $3 million, and we have asked the county to give us a formal commitment of another $3 million. Again, that next one is going to be in a two-part reading so that council doesn't have to approve the second reading until we get that commitment from the county. As far as Doherty Road, we would be getting an agreement from State Infrastructure Bank, and they would be raising that from $0.9 million to $1.7 million, which should be enough to go ahead and fully fund that project. That project is fully designed. It's already been given to the Highway Department. They have already approved it. It has also been put on hold for the last several months, waiting for the full funding stream before we went back to the consultants and said, okay, we need to get the right-of-way, and then we could go out to bids for construction. Again, I have not asked council for that approval until we get the full commitment from CIB in an intergovernmental agreement, which you should get at the next meeting. At that point, you'll have the first and second readings, and then we could authorize our engineers to go forward and complete everything on that project. So again, there's a kind of like a step process. The first step on Hitchcock Parkway now is to approve this. The second step is with ARTS, and knowing where the funding is going to come from, and then the next step and the final would be with the joint meeting of the Georgia-South Carolina policy.
How long do you think the Doherty Road construction would last?
A very similar project was installed at the corner of Silver Bluff and Pine Log with Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
And we put an extra right turn lane in. And that took about 6 to 9 months.
Okay, the reason I mention that is that we may be setting up for two major construction projects in the city at the same time with the Silver Bluff and Doherty Road.
I would hope that Doherty Road would, if council approves the intergovernmental agreement from CIB in November, and we get started back on the right-of-way acquisition, we could by next summer start construction.
And we're scheduled to start construction on Silver Bluff in the second quarter of next year. Last I heard.
Good luck on that.
I understand.
It's gone through the typical delays. I mean, at one point it was the last quarter of this year, and then it slipped already two quarters. I just bring it up because it's certainly any one of those projects is going to make a significant impact to the community, just as Hitchcock Parkway would. But we need to be careful not to do them both at once. I mean, Atari Road is extremely important. We need to do that. If you've ever been on that road on a Friday,
we've made initial contact with Publix for the entrance going off of Christie into that location. We don't have the full agreement ready yet to bring back to you, but Publix asked us a number of questions. We've responded to them. We're still getting a few more responses to them. But again, I would hope that project could take place. Again, everything's been designed. We already have the right-of-way. We could be starting that late winter, early spring.
Yeah, that'll help.
And that will help the Doherty Road.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is a very short-term project.
This project, it's worthwhile to remember where we're going to go. Where we're going to go is eventually DOT is going to come to us with a design. I got a strongest feeling that we're not going to like whatever design they come forward. And we'll have the public meetings with the public comments and so forth. I can pretty well assure you that people are going to be upset with the wide lanes on either side. And then again, it depends on how wide it's going to be. I think you got a speaker to that issue waiting. But that it may be next year sometime before we get a design for Hitchcock Parkway or longer.
I would say that if the final approvals are granted in December between the Georgia and the South Carolina Policy Committee, then you do the preliminary engineering, you have your public meetings, they do final engineering. It'll be at least in 2016 before anything will get started.
Sure. Okay.
Easily. It'll probably be more like 2017.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There should be no right-of-way acquisition, and so that process, they still have to go through all the environmental and NEPA and all the other things that are required.
We made the purpose of need change on Silver Bluff. It's taken 5 years, and obviously that's a little simpler than dealing with the other, but I hope you're correct on your construction date.
That's going to be about a 9, almost 10-year project from start to finish.
What,
since we started?
Yes. I mean, Hitchcock Parkway? Oh, yeah, Silver Bluff.
Silver Bluff. It's amazing. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Do we have a show of hands, please? Are we unanimous on this? Good.
We'll ask Gail when she comes back.
I think you missed a comment.
Oh, you had a comment on that.
I'm sorry. Do you still want to make a comment, or is it too late?
No, it's not too
late. Sure. Certainly.
Yes. Now, remember, this is just a resolution to do this. She can still speak.
My name's Deanna Carroll. I'm an attorney representing concerned citizens that oppose the very large project that we are working our way away from per your discussions here. I just want to say that the devil is in the details. We fully support the change of the purpose and need, but you know it's still important to make sure this project comes out the right way. I have recognized in some of the comments a concern that maybe people like my clients and other concerned citizens that care about how Hitchcock Parkway comes out might complicate the development of the project, and that can happen. But I would support and suggest that you should try to involve these folks as much as possible right away. I mean, whatever kind of workshop and you can do or whatever is a good thing, because removing the element of surprise, giving them an opportunity to explain when, you know, aspects of the project might not be desirable early on can help prevent a lot of conflict, a lot of bad feeling, and a bad result. So I hope you will involve us. I am pleased about the change in the purpose and need. Please do not pre-decide what should be in this project. You know, do it in an intelligent, including way.
Thank you.
Ms. Carroll, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to think that we've always acted that way, contrary to what some of your clients might believe, but everything is open. The public meetings have been open. And the design, I pretty well predicted what's going to happen. We're going to wait. DOT is going to come up with a design. We'll meet at St. Paul's Church probably. And everybody, including council, will get their first look at it. We won't get a look ahead of the public. So we've always tried to work with the public and keep the public involved.
Respectfully, I wouldn't point fingers at anybody or any particular entity, but I must say that sometimes it is difficult to know all the facts that are relevant to making intelligent decisions. And I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying that is a hard thing to do.
Sure.
So anything that can be done to make that easier, I mean, you know, sometimes it's just better planning. Sometimes it's involving the people that explain it the best way. I mean, it can be a lot of different factors that can go into that. But doing that would go a long way towards making this process easier. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm encouraging.
Right. Your points right. are well taken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. We did pass that, didn't we? Unanimous.
Yes, yes. Dale, raise your hand, just as she can.
Okay. Item 7, first reading of an ordinance approving intergovernmental agreement, IGA, with SIB, S-I-B, for University Parkway.
I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the South Carolina Transportation Infrastructure Bank for University Parkway widening project. If you could turn to page 225 of the agreement, because I think this is one of the more important areas. The agreement is essentially what you approved in June of 2012. For the $13.5 million. But now what we're doing is we're going to separate out and have an agreement for each one of our individual projects. At the next meeting, we will get the one, hopefully, for Doherty. This agreement here, and Gary can attest to it, we probably went back and forth with Jim Holly, their attorney, probably about 15 different emails to get where we're at today.
I'm not sure we're through yet.
And we may not be through yet. But that's why it's first reading, so we can make changes as necessary. On page 225, it states that the funding would be $3 million from the city and $3 million from Aiken County portion of the current Aiken County Capital Project sales tax. It also then goes into the fact that this money from the city would be spent first, and then funds from the county and SIB will be spent on a 50-50 basis. So once the project is designed, and let's just say it's $1.1 million to design it, that means we would have another $1.9 million that we would have to come up with. In other words, we'd have to have an interfund loan agreement to start the construction. Once we have spent our full $3 million, then SIB and the county would start drawing on their money, 50% from SIB, 50% from the county. This is first reading, and before you'll get second reading on this, we anticipate or expect we will have an agreement from the county stating we have agreed to go ahead and commit $3 million towards this project. And until we get that $3 million commitment, we will not bring this back for second reading. This may be back for second reading in November 10th. It may be later, depending on when we get the final commitment from the county.
I thought we asked the county for $2 million.
We asked for $3
million. $3
million. Yes.
And was that in writing, a verbal request, or how was that done?
What? Did you ask for it in writing when you set up the meeting in the county or not? I can say this much.
The money from the county, was that in writing?
We have discussed this with them. They have talked to their county council about it. An email has gone back and forth with Clay Killian telling him that we need something in writing from the county, or a commitment from the county. I don't believe we have formally, as a council or mayor, have you?
No, okay. No. But we have indications that they're willing to help. Just put it that way.
Well,
it never was to start with.
There never was one.
Never was to start with that we decided who would get what.
Well, shouldn't there be a paragraph C, A, B, and a C, which basically is the matching, the bank should match this on an equal basis, so we're talking $9 million instead of $6 million. Wouldn't that make it a little bit clearer? On page 225, paragraph 3-2, you're talking about $3 million from the city, $3 million from the Aiken County's portion of the CPST, and then here in the text, if you would put a C up here and say from the bank, equal basis on the same schedule as B.
There are several sections that get in here. The page previous to that talks about the financial assistance in the form of grants for the project not to exceed $4.6 million. The bank will make distributions from the account pursuant to Section 6 of this agreement to pay for eligible costs. So we'd have to go to Section 6. And there under Section 6, it talks about how we get the money back. So there are several areas in here that talks about their money, how the money's going to be drawn for this project. Mm-hmm. But if we need to state that more clearer, we could certainly do so.
If I'm understanding Mr. Hamucky's question, the sentence, I believe it's the second sentence following paragraph 3.2b, says the financial contribution listed in item B of this section 3.2 above shall be expended for eligible costs of the project on an equal basis with the disbursements by the bank until all of that financial contribution in the amount of $3 million is expended. So that sentence is saying the state and the county are going to spend their money together until the county has spent all of their $3 million, and then the TIB will pay the remainder. That's how I interpret that sentence.
Why would we want to put our money in first?
Right.
We'd rather not, but that's the way the SIB wants it to be.
Why do you have to pay cash when you buy a house? And the banks, you got to pay 20% cash down.
I tell you, the person that puts money in first ends up the worst. I mean, that's ruling business. But what about the county? Why don't they put in 50-50 with us then? I don't see why we should go out there. Plus, what's going to happen if this thing goes over budget?
Yeah.
Or
right.
What if it comes in under budget? If it comes in under budget, does this county and SIB not have to put in as much? Yeah. We've already committed our $3 million.
Well, that's the issue that I raise, and in addition to asking the county for their money, we ought to get an agreement that we're going to split any excess costs. I mean, the days of the city we're putting ourselves at risk in this project.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
If this $10.6 million ends up being $12 million, it's coming out of us. If we're going to do this, we got to be on a level playing field with the county. Everything beyond 10.6 has to be split. I would perfectly be willing to do that. I don't know about the rest of the council, but I'm not willing to be the total bank for anything above 10.6.
I mean, I feel like the doormat in this deal.
We should, I guess, probably in writing ask the county for their $3 million and an agreement to split the difference on excess cost.
Right.
We need that in writing. We need that documentation rather than...
And if they don't want to split the cost, then I'm not interested in the project, in supporting the project.
Now, let me just point of clarification with the city attorney. This agreement with the county about splitting the cost is outside this TIB. They're pretty definite. They're going to shut the money off at 4.6
million.
Yeah, 6. Okay. So this would be between the city and the county, which I concur with. Leslie and I have had a bite out of the county's resolution apple already. They make a lot of resolutions that don't get done.
So we can approve this agreement tonight. Obviously, that's not a problem. But before we do the second reading, we should have a commitment by the county to give us $3 million and to agree to to finance unanticipated expenses, because $10.6 million in 2014 might not hold up if we don't get to build this till 2016, 17, or 18.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Any chance of getting the bank to share, you know, if you have any overruns, you know, let the bank participate a little bit in that?
They're pretty well saying no.
Well, certainly, you know, we could always go back to the bank after we've shown due diligence of what we've done and the cost. If, let's say, when we get the engineering done, the estimate comes in at $12 million, we could certainly go back to them and ask for a modification on the amount that they're giving us and say, okay, we'll split it three ways or whatever. I mean, there's nothing that says they wouldn't.
And I would be willing in our letter to the county to say, before we ask you for any extra money, we'll ask SIB first. I mean, that might be a good thing to put in that letter, but the bottom line is if SIB says no and the county doesn't indicate willingness to split the unanticipated cost, then I'm not sure we ought to proceed.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay.
An approval of this tonight is
just first reading.
Yeah.
And this is with SIB, not with the county.
I understand. Yes, I understand.
And our intent would be not to come back to City Council until we have a formal commitment with the county.
And formal means a vote on a loan, on either cash or a loan to support the cash. That's what formal agreement means?
A resolution. Gary Smith deal with Attorney Brown on that.
I mean, the commitment can be what you want it to be.
The what?
The commitment can be what you want it to be. I would envision an agreement similar to what you're entering into with the TIB.
Okay.
But between the city and the county.
I don't... If the resolution authorizes expenditures from their Capital 3, I would agree. But my impression is that they almost have to borrow the money because they're loaned all the way out on 3 now. So they would have to be sure that they get the document that says we will borrow the money to pay us. So if you need to talk to your cohort over in the county, be sure that that commitment is more than a resolution.
Right.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Because I think talking to attorney would be better.
Yeah, because I've talked with the county administrator, and of course he, you know, go along with whatever the council wants. But I think we need to have the right words on that.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
When you say commitment, that means a county council vote.
Yes.
Not just the administrator's commitment, but the council's vote.
It could be in writing, could it not?
Yeah, but they have.
I mean, it depends on when their council meeting is and all that. If timing.
Well, my information that I have says that the county will agree to the $3 million after you have the November meeting and the December meeting, and then after that, my question back to the county administrator was, are you going to put it in front of council that says you are committing the $3 million, not resolution, but here's the money in the bank? And I think that's building on what Philip and Leslie have said, that's what we want to see from them. But you probably won't get the money from the county dedicated until they have to have three readings. It'll be February on that thing.
You need a motion.
Okay, we need a motion and second.
The motion is to approve the ordinance, this first reading, for the intergovernmental agreement with SIB for the University Parkway, and that's in the amount of $4.6 million.
That is correct.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Thank you. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 8, first reading of an ordinance to approve an interfund loan agreement and note for the widening and improvements to University Parkway.
Okay, and again, I'll read this by the title only. It's ordinance authorizing the borrowing from the City of Aiken General Fund Equipment Replacement Account. It's outlined in this ordinance for the purpose of funding the widening improvements of University Parkway. Although we're not going to move forward with any more engineering until we get this previous item dealt with, we wanted to get the loan started because there has been expenditures already made
from the capital project sales tax 3 fund. And so by approving this first and then second reading, what you're doing is allowing us to go ahead and pay for the money that has already been spent.
But that's not what the motion's asking for. You're asking for the whole $3 million.
I mean, we could go ahead and take this as a bite at a time. We know that the engineering contract is for like $862,000. Or if you want to just go ahead and approve the amount that's been spent, we could do that.
I think you're going to have to show a commitment to the TIB that you're prepared to allow the borrowing of the $3 million. Isn't that part of the discussion we had with Jim last week?
You're correct. I'm sorry.
They want to make sure that the city is, I mean, Jim has approved this ordinance and the note agreement on behalf of the TIB.
Okay.
The city has to be committed to be able to provide the $3 million.
Just like you're asking the county to commit, the TIB wants us to.
So we're not going back to the TIB until we get the commitment from the county.
Right. So we could pass first reading, and then
we shouldn't even be doing this until we get the commitment from the county. I mean,
you're not going to do second reading until you get the commitment from the county.
There's two readings.
Sure. We've already done.
So we can do
the TIB agreement. The TIB agreement we just passed.
Correct.
We are not going to have second reading on that until we get a commitment from the county.
Correct.
My only point is, why don't we just defer this until we're ready to act on the second agreement? Now, if we need to cover expenditures that were incurred by the prior city manager, I'm certainly willing to do that to make things right. But I don't know why we need to. I mean, this money's not going to be spent for 2 or 3 years.
The only reason would be approving this on first reading so that when we get ready, whenever that date is for second reading, we don't have to wait up for 2 council meetings to get it done.
They're both at the same time.
I still don't see why we should put the whole $3 million, borrow the whole $3 million when we're not going to spend it for several years. I mean, that's my point.
SIB is going to want to see our commitment. So whenever we pass
the TIB, will approve the funds without that commitment.
Okay, wait a minute. We got the TIB agreement right here.
Yes.
That's right. What you and Jim Hawley negotiated. We're signing that agreement.
And this ordinance that you're reviewing now is part of the condition of the TIB agreement.
Does it say that in here?
Listen, you got to be able. The city has to be able to prove that they're prepared to commit the $3 million. That's what the, this.
Wait, in 2014 or 2015 or 2016?
They're not asking when, but they just want us a commitment from us, just like we're asking the county for a commitment.
We pass this ordinance. The next time you give us a listing of capital projects 3, you're going to list University Parkway $3 million that is committed from Capital Projects 3,
whenever
as I understand
do,
it.
Whenever you do second reading on this.
Yes.
When which we may not be reading. Till December or January.
Well, I guess I'm the only one making the comments, but we're talking about spending money in 3 years. And, okay?
Well, Dick, it's before, so it doesn't hurt anything to do it first reading.
Okay.
Does it? All right. Do we have a motion in the second for approval?
Mr. Mayor,
I make the motion that we approve this.
I'll second it. Okay. Now we need to have some discussion on the motion.
Okay.
Mr. Ledoux has commented several times that I've used the number 1.1, and I have a reason for that, whether it may not be as valid as it should be. But my opinion is that there's some serious due diligence needs to be done on the contract that was authorized and the money that spent that wasn't authorized, and be sure what's in the contract to be done. Because when I talked to the individual that owns the company, I got a little different view than I'd heard from the past. There's a number of entities that have to be involved in this before we ever get the design done. And Mr. Ledoux has mentioned several of these already from our earlier discussion on Hitchcock Parkway about the geotech work that needs to be done, the waters of the state, the DHEC wetlands, and the pond that washed out a few years ago.
And what I think, either we modify the motion or that we agree that Mr. Ledoux and myself and whoever wants and Mr. Grinton meet with Mr. Toole and see what's in his contract and get an idea of what we would need to do to finish design by, I think you said mid-16 or late-16 in here. I think there's some other things that we need to be sure we're aware of that SCDOT is going to want before the design is approved and finished. They'll give us preliminary approval, but then to get final design, we're going to have to show verification of purchase of land. We're going to have to do the environmental study, and none of those are cheap and to do. And I think we need to be sure we know what's in the contract. And if we need Mr. Smith's help, we can also do that. So I would say approve it, but as a caveat, that we have that meeting within the next whatever we want to do before Thanksgiving, say. And is that would you think that'd be appropriate, Mr. Ledoux?
We need to have that meeting. I would say that we would have that meeting prior to our having second reading. If we're going to see that the second reading's not going to be held till January or February, we could hold off having that meeting with Rick Toole. But again, yes, that before we're going to go ahead and authorize the engineering contract to go to the next step, there are going to have to be some changes made and sit down with him on that particular job. When we get to the Doherty Road job, it's a little bit different because of where we're at with that project.
I don't disagree. But here, we have SCDOT manager Young, and then we have SCDOT manager Shepherd, who is new to this project. She's not new to SCDOT. But we definitely need to get them involved because my discussions with SCDOT Young, they have been no discussions on the university.
That is correct.
And so they're sitting over here with their claws waiting to get at us, in my opinion. But we need to have those discussions in a public meeting, and then we would go to the second reading. And I think by then we would know where we are as far as the estimate and the stuff that's not in the estimate.
That's correct.
So the motion now is to approve the $3 million for the this capital sales tax.
Yes.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Great. Approval of resolution to accept the deed of dedication of water and sewer lines in Pin Oak Farms. Mr. Ledoux.
Our engineering department has reviewed this request, and after field reviewing it and looking at it, they're recommending that the city accept the deed of dedication for the sanitary sewer and water systems in Phase 1 and 2 of Pin Oak Farms subdivision.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved.
Second.
And second.
Just one question.
Yes.
What's taken so long for this since 2007? Is this one of them that we missed and we're catching up?
George, you can just stand there and shout.
It's just the developer. Do not come forward until then.
Oh, okay.
Does this include storm sewer?
Just water and sewer, no storm?
Just water and sewer.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Petitions and requests. Approval to unfreeze employee positions.
Yes, we have two positions that we'd like to bring forward. One is a clerk typist position, and the other one is a maintenance mechanic over in public safety.
Now, is the public safety maintenance mechanic a real maintenance mechanic and not a public safety officer doing maintenance mechanic?
That is correct. Okay. That's funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Oh, it's like $35 an hour funny is what it is, difference in pay.
Okay.
So the other question I have, and it's not one of these, but in one of your memos about dealing with the Hopeland Gardens and Rye Patch and that well, that'll be come up at a later.
Yeah, once we're able to develop any memorandums of understanding with the part-time employee that we are looking at having for the Hall of Fame, I believe Kim is having a meeting with that employee in the next couple of days to try to work something out. And we met the other day with this other folks that might look at doing some contractual work for reservations at Rye Patch.
And with the in that MOU, we would get to see that, because there's been grumbling since I've been on council about having somebody there that's, you know, I'm going to use an analogy of Newberry Hall. Newberry Hall has two or three people there, and they take care of everything. And if you have a wedding there, and the people come in and say, well, where's this, where's that? So it usually runs one person in the ground when there's a couple hundred people there. We need to consider that. And I'm sure Kim has heard that before already. I know Lisa has.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, we need a motion.
I'll move approval to unfreeze both positions.
Second, Senator.
Okay, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Second item there, approval modifications to the concept plan for university health care on Silver Bluff Road.
This would normally be something that we would do in-house, but because council just approved it the other day, I wanted you to be aware of it so that if you get questions by anybody, not that you ever would on something like this, but I'm sure you would. What happened is when they went to the highway department with the original design, the driveways did not align up with one another. So essentially they're just taking the project they had and flipping it so their driveway matches the driveway across from Center South. Nothing else has changed, and so we're just bringing it to your attention. If you'd like to approve the change, that's fine. It's not necessary. The city manager could do it. But again, I felt it was important that you all understand what was going on.
I would recommend the city manager approve it, and you have at least two other parties very interested in this, being Zarbas, the Greek's place, and
This is university.
Oh, but they have an issue with state right-of-ways also.
Okay.
And so whatever is done here, they're going to have an interest level whenever it comes their turn to ask for the entry interest. So that's why I mentioned it. There are other interest parties, and I thank you for bringing it to council.
This is a good example. You know, we've talked previously about sometimes DOT won't approve curb cuts where we might want them, and this shows how the process works, and indeed they don't always approve it.
Yeah, well, we'll just go ahead then and have staff go ahead and allow this to go forward. But again, I just wanted to bring it to your attention, just so when you do get asked questions, you are aware of it.
If Mike Calhoun is the other interested party, and we've already had that come before council.
Right.
Okay, I just have a question on the issues and answers for Stuart. Thank you for putting the issue about Hayne Ave in there, because at least it's keeping the citizens informed of that bicycle lane problem. Do you have any idea when DOT is going to approve getting rid of the white lines?
I spoke with Ted Jones in Engineering and Utilities, and that's in the process of being applied for. And it should. I know the last encroachment permit for Hayne Avenue took several weeks. Since we've already gone through the system, I can't imagine it taking as long as the prior. But we'll certainly then proceed with notification, and you know, let council know as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, just to remind you that on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we're having a council meeting to talk about a personnel matter, fractional matter.
And Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank all of you for supporting our dedication and ribbon cutting ceremony on Friday. It made me very happy to see all of you there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gail. It was a wonderful event.
Thank you.
Did a super job, and all of you did, but especially your part, too. And that's a beautiful building if you haven't seen it.
And thank you for delivering the greetings from the city. We really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. I enjoyed that. Okay, we stand adjourned.
Thank those of us that attended. I was going to say.
Yeah, you know who you are.